The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback. He gives the ball. No, he doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, Jason. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to the little show we call PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Franchise tag deadline has come and gone. The Patriots have not used it. We're going to talk about all that and all the news that have come out today and is still coming out about Wes Welker. That's on the table. The African Queen is still on the road. We'll be talking about that. So much here on PFW in Progress. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. We'll be here until 2 o'clock today. Your only place to get real Patriots talk in the world at this time of year.
And breaking news somehow. Every time I look to Twitter, there's something new. I just said to you, an hour and a half ago, Welker had disdain for the Patriots. Now the latest is he's closing in on a multi-year deal with the team.
There's nothing that can get rid of that disdain more than a nice big fat contract.
$20 million probably gets the job done. I could have disdain and then, you know, get rid of the disdain.
So we'll talk about that right off the top. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. We're so glad to be here.
Aren't we supposed to say we're so glad you're listening?
Yeah, like you're with us. We're glad to have you with us.
No, but you know we're also glad to be doing this. I mean, you agree this is the best part of the job?
Absolutely.
Oh, God, this show?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been telling you for 5 years, if you could somehow have us do this all the time.
It's the one that makes the least amount of money, too, unfortunately. But
that's got nothing to do with us. Yeah. That's a marketing problem issue.
But this is the best part.
This is also the part that gets the most attention.
True. So we wake up this morning with a story from Jason Cole, who says that Wes Welker has mild disdain for the team. Wasn't happy about his role to begin the season. I don't think that's a big surprise. But writes the story really, if looks like it was written by the Patriots, about how, you know, he might consider taking a few less dollars and staying here.
And there was also a report from Ed Werder on SportsCenter that there's, I forgot the exact wording, but he's not going to find too many suitors. It's going to be a very soft market for him. You know, he's more valuable here than anywhere else. And
yeah. Again,
that was the Jason Cole thing was the legacy. If he's worried about his legacy, he should stay in New England because that's the place where he's going to catch the 100-plus passes. That's the place where he's going to do the possibility of winning a Super Bowl. And like Fred said, it did come off as having been written by, you know, me and Andy.
And it's just stupid.
You know, for the Patriots.
Would he not have a legacy if he goes to Denver and wins a Super Bowl there?
Right.
There's no legacy?
Right.
Now you've worked with two of the greatest quarterbacks in history. You go out there, you become part of that offense, boom, and if you win a Super Bowl, you'll have a legacy. Well, everybody who has a Super Bowl ring has a legacy.
The whole thing is like, okay, maybe you don't have 110 catches, but Maybe you have 80 and you win, like you said, win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Just as good. And you have
or maybe you
fat,
have 110.
And you have a big fat contract. So nothing that I read in that Jason Cole thing to me would, you know, convince Welker and my agent to stay here if I don't feel I'm getting a fair deal here. Now,
right.
We don't know what that is. And this, a Twitter tweet just came out.
As opposed to a Facebook
citing
tweet.
Citing a source. The source close to Welker, close to the Patriots.
I don't know. I
got to
delve into it. It's a Mike Giardi source.
They're honing in on a multi-year contract for Welker.
Nothing gets rid
of this. So that's basically what everybody's been writing for the week.
Yeah.
You know, the Herald had a reference to that they're inching closer, I think, today was the wording that they used, which was kind of surprising in light of the Jason Cole story. The Cole story to me reeked of an effort from the Welker camp to let everybody know out there that I am interested in hearing what you have to offer. You know, that, I mean, we know that Jason Cole, just to let everybody know, he's now working for Yahoo, which is a national website here, but he got his start in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously he was with the Dolphins when Welker was with the Dolphins. So there's a chance, I don't know what the relationship is, but there's a chance that they had a relationship when Welker was in Miami and Jason Cole was covering the Dolphins. So my guess is that something like this, maybe you come from the Welker side, David Dunn says, yeah, you know, he's a little upset about the way he was treated at the beginning of the year. And by the way, I have no doubt that he was a little upset. I'm not trying to shoot that part of it down. I just don't think it's a deal breaker for Welker. If Welker gets that, what Andy just said about that multi-year deal, $20 million or so guaranteed, I think he'll probably stay here.
Plus, that guarantees you're not going down that road again. The thing that peeved you was
right.
being squashed out of the offense, limited, not start.
Right.
If you sign
year.
A $20 million yeah. deal, you're guaranteeing you're going to start for the next couple of years and be a main part of the offense.
Sure. And yeah. that's why I think that maybe what – and I think it's smart business. If, it, in fact, this is the way it went down, if David Dunn says to Jason Cole, hey, look, you know, Wes wasn't real happy with the way he was treated last year. True. But now it's, you're sort of planting that seed. If Andy's thing about Denver, you know, well, maybe, you know, John Elway looks at it and says, oh, Brandon Stokely is, you know – 37 now, 38. He's probably not going to be that guy
and not as
anymore.
Good.
He's not as good as Welker. You know, maybe.
But how about the whole list?
Let's make a run. You know,
Atlanta.
Houston.
Denver. I mean,
Dallas.
Right there, you have three. Well, Dallas, I just want to, because Patriot fan, you're fine, go to Dallas and you'll never win a playoff game again. But I'm
really?
Atlanta, Houston, Denver, to me, are three Super Bowl contenders that would love to have Wes Welker.
At what price?
Whatever it costs.
Really?
Yeah. You know me. Cap is crap.
Well, okay.
If you want to get...
I mean, that is a factor.
But
though.
Here's the thing, though. But if you want to get the guy, then it's whatever cost. If you're a team like that and you think you're a player away, then it's whatever cost. Now, if you're a team like Miami, there's a cost. I mean, you have this tons of cap room, but is the best way to use it on a slot
right.
receiver who's approaching his mid-30s when he's probably not going to put you over the top?
But so, Tony Gonzalez, you can't slide him into some of that money if he retires?
I mean, that
kind of a
right.
thing. I mean, there's ways to find the money if you want it.
Do you think the fact that the Patriots did not use the franchise tag on anyone kind of paves the way for some signing between now and the beginning of the season, you know, March, whatever?
Potentially.
March 12th is
the start of the league year.
I think that falls in line with what people have been trying to tell us, that it's going to be – you know, this weird year where teams don't have the cap space and it didn't go up and, you know, the numbers aren't going to be quite as high. You know, I think Welker is lumped into that. People are saying that middle class. I think he's on the high end of that middle class. You know, like Dwayne Bowe is a young marquee. He's going to get his money. Everybody says the elite guys will still get their money. It's that middle class. I think people generally assume Welker's in the higher end of that middle class because he's not young and kind of peaking and all that.
Right.
And I think that tells you they think those guys are going to get less money than they would have previously, past years.
And I'm not buying that, by the way. I'm not buying that line of thinking. I think you're going to see guys sign contracts that are going to make people say, wow, I can't believe he got that.
Always happens.
I think it happens every year.
I think
every year we start talking about the flat salary cap. And, you know, Andy made a point about the dollars aren't there. But now all of a sudden that's all I read about is how many millions of dollars Indianapolis has and how many Miami has. And You know, all these teams that supposedly don't have any cap room, no one has any cap dollars to spend, 40, you know, somewhere between 40 and 25 and 50 million under the cap for teams like Indianapolis. Indianapolis was a playoff team last year, and they have a ton of cap space. Now, I think they're probably going to try to use it on their lines. I think they're going to try to, you know, find an offensive line. You know, maybe Sebastian Vollmer goes there. You know, and we're talking about the Patriots. But I think there's always this talk that, like, you know, the stuff that Andy said is absolutely, he nailed it. That's exactly what everybody is forecasting. And I just don't see it happening. I think every year, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 guys sign a contract, and we all look and said, really? Really? Pierre Garçon?
Well, Tom Curran had a nice...
40 million?
Tom Curran had an article, and at the end of it was kind of a throwaway to one of those sarcastic type articles. But at the end, he talked about rollover cap money, that the new rule, the new CB, allows teams to roll over unused cap money from one year to another next. And, you know, I think the total number of unused cap dollars was $190 million or something like that between the 30 teams. You know, it was like crazy amount of money. Maybe it was 90. It was a... No, it was
what's $100 million either way?
I think it was more like 190. But it was a crazy
certainly
amount
plausible.
Of money.
The Patriots was almost 6 times 30 something would give you in the range of $190 million.
Yeah, so there is extra money that we're not thinking about that teams have.
But
to
that's
spend.
Accounted for. Like when people say the Patriots have $25 million, that's in there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
People are adding that because the Patriots' adjusted cap is 128 point
correct.
Something or something like that.
I have a question for you in terms of what is counted in that $25 million and what isn't. Brandon Lloyd, if they don't pick up that, does it become 28 or does it stay 25? Because my understanding that it would stay 25 because he's not, you didn't pick him up. He's not on your roster.
No,
to me, he's the same.
He's contracted.
As,
my
no,
guess
he's not.
Is,
he's not. Oh, okay.
There's a bonus that they have to pick up on March whatever.
Oh, okay.
It originally was a lot of people were saying March 31st. Now some people are saying March 16th.
Okay, so it's an option.
So that's an option bonus that they need to pick up. To me, that puts him like anybody else that's not under contract.
I think
right
you're
now.
Right.
Now I don't know. They might know. Be. They might be calculating that. It's counting that $3 million, and
well, they
also
have
add,
dead money for him though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can save money
on the
cap.
$3 million signing bonus.
We know they can save money on the cap if they don't pick up that bonus.
Correct.
We know that.
Correct.
But do you understand what I'm saying? In terms of the calculations of what they have available to use, I wonder if that's factored in or not already.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
no one knows because I just heard him on the radio. Oh, yeah, the Ravens have this, but that doesn't factor in the Flacco, which will draw. No, my understanding was that they get a very palatable Flacco deal.
Right. It allows them. It gives them flexibility now.
More importantly, can I rant on a side note topic?
Sure.
NFL.com, our good friends, our co-partners.
Does this have to do with the little dust up last night between Greg Aiello and Mike Florio?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I don't know anything about that.
I'll fill you in.
Fred.
I'm guessing Florio was in the wrong.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was in the
right.
I don't
think he was anyway, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was wrong. NFL.com, after the free agents, I mean the franchise tag numbers and everything came out yesterday, eight teams used it and blah, 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 Patriots and teams that didn't, put together their top 85 free agents today. And the first grouping is impact starters, they call it.
Yep.
Mike Wallace is the number one guy.
Okay.
Number two. Patriots right tackle Sebastian Vollmer.
Really?
That's ridiculous. Asinine. Stupid. Moronic.
Okay.
Imbecilic, if that's a word. I mean, the guy who plays right tackle, first of all. Right tackle. Not a marquee position. I don't know
Seriously.
If you know. Our quarterback's right-handed.
This has nothing to do with Vollmer. Vollmer's a Pro Bowl caliber.
He is a fine player.
Caliber. He, I mean, he's not a
but
perennial
Pro Bowler.
But you
know who else is a Pro Bowler? Perennial Pro Bowler? Jake Long, left tackle, who's 16th on the list. You know who else is an impact player? Wes Welker. Because Wes Welker's a big impact player on this team. He catches 100 balls every year. I don't know if you know, but Sebastian Vollmer missed 10 games 2 years ago, and the Patriots had the best offense in football. And then last year he played 15, and the Patriots had the best offense in football. So what changes with Sebastian Vollmer?
All
Nothing.
Right.
The guy's not even good enough to play left tackle anymore.
Did they
anywhere.
Have any reasoning behind it?
He's a young impact starter who's more valuable than Welker to the Patriots, or something ridiculous like that. I mean, it was asinine. It was. I don't know if it was one of those. I'm going to slip a weird one in so people talk about my list.
Yeah, I think we're all going to overthink this.
Because I would have ripped it just for having 85.
Do you think if
why
the
do you
Patriots,
have 85, not 75 or 100?
Do you think
85
if the Patriots
a stupid
felt
number.
The same way, they would have franchised them?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I just don't think that you would put yourself in a position where you could lose them. And I'll tell you this too. You know, people. You
who
you,
wrote it?
Greg Rosenthal. You know what he's from. Used to be on Pro Football Talk, so idiots of a feather.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I should just put a food order in and just let him go.
Yeah. You don't think that's stupid?
Speaking of, we need to put a food order in.
We do, Kevin. We're going to need to do that on account of we're not getting any help lately.
I want a veal cutlet toasted.
Oh, poor cow. I mean, the Patriots have a cornerback who's a number one corner. I wrote this on the blog. He's a number one corner. You can't dispute that. Whether he's top 15 number one corner, top 10, top 5, whatever you think of Aqib Talib, he's a number one cornerback. That is a marquee position in football. Right tackle, not a marquee position.
Well, that's my,
and yet Vollmer
that's
is number two on this list, and Aqib Talib is 15.
Especially when you use the word impact.
Right. Yeah. That's their tier one impact starters.
Right.
Well, Aqib Talib was supposedly one of the greatest impact players in football last year because he came to the Patriots. Everybody said the secondary got better. Then he left against the Baltimore Ravens with the Patriots leading, and the poop fell out, and they lost the game because the Ravens apparently took advantage of him not being on the field. If that's not impact, I don't know what impact is.
Other than that, did you have any problems with the list?
I forgot to bring it down.
Okay.
Donald Thomas, 84, by the way, if you're wondering.
84. Okay.
I find that a little surprising that he's on any list that says impact in anywhere, like he's a top free agent. Really?
Maybe they're just trying to create problems for the Patriots.
But my biggest issue is that you have three Patriots, big three. To me, he ranks third as an impact player among the big three. You don't think there'll be an impact with Wes Welker leaving here and going somewhere else? I don't care what you think of Welker. You know, what do you have, four touchdowns? If you think of him that way, or if you think he's loose change, or he's going to go somewhere and have an impact on that offense more than Sebastian Vollmer will.
Hold on, Fred. One second. Just to paint a picture, Andy, with disdain, to use the word of the day, because that's what Welker holds the Patriots with, he waved at Fred when he said four touchdowns and waved at me when he said loose change.
No, but no matter what you think of Welker, are you telling me he's not going to have a negative impact leaving here and a positive impact
going
to a new team?
Was the impact based on what it would be to the team that lost him or the team that he's going to? Because you could argue that losing Vollmer is a pretty big impact.
Like 2 years ago when we went to the Super Bowl? Yeah, that was a lot of impact.
But it may not be
really
as big as losing a
Aqib Talib. Light did retire, so it's a little bit of a weird argument there. But
it still
have a number one pick to play.
Don't let any of the facts get in the way.
I mean,
he talked himself out of it in the middle of the rant.
No. I ignore the facts if I need to. But the right tackle is by nature not a marquee position, not an impact position. Yes, he could have an impact on, the Bears or the Colts or some team that just has an atrocious offensive line. Yes, he'll have, but that doesn't make him one of the biggest impact players in football. That means
I don't think there's any argument.
What about the impact of Tom Brady if this line isn't good?
No, but I don't think there's any argument to be made that he's the number two available impact player.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he will have an I think, Fred, Sebastian Vollmer will have an impact on the Patriots if he leaves, and he'll have an impact on the team that he goes to, provided that he stays healthy.
Right, which
that's
won't
a big
happen,
if.
But.
That's a big if.
And I'm not even holding that against Rosenthal, really.
No, I'm not either.
He's going to get hurt, but I don't think Rosenthal's taking that. He's just saying
he's
as
not
a player,
the number two. I mean, I'm sorry, but and I know that you guys make fun of me a lot about the offensive lines, but you can't have an offensive lineman that's the second greatest impact available player in any offseason.
I mean, let's just rank them of the Patriots' offensive linemen. If they were to pick impact offensive linemen, I'm guessing they'd go Mankins number one because they pay him really a lot of money and paid him $55 million. And I'm guessing they'd go Solder, too. So, like, among impact offensive linemen, he's third on his own team. Because if he was better than Solder, he'd be your left tackle.
Maybe we should email this guy and see if he wants to come on the show.
No, that's less time for us to listen to Andy rant.
Well,
And then I can ask him if he hates Mike Florio.
Is that why you left Pro Football Talk?
Because Florio's a douche.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
Were you embarrassed when Florio said that Terry Bradshaw died?
Send this guy an email, see if he wants to come on.
And I just,
you had your chance. You're a fraud. You had your chance to confront Florio in Indy.
What did you want me to do?
I want you to go up and say, hey, by the way, you wanted to know who Andy Hart was? I'm Andy Hart.
What good would come from that?
Is that out of the realm? Was that unrealistic?
No.
Was that asking for too much?
He
said, I don't even know who you are, or something along those lines, right?
And that's fine.
Well, you had an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Was I supposed to, like, name in the balls, too? I mean, what do you want? What am I supposed to do?
Do you have no pride?
About what?
About yourself.
A used car salesman doesn't know who I am? I don't care two poops about Mike Florio.
He's doing all right for a used car salesman.
A lot of used car salesmen make a lot of money. There's a lot of shady characters in this world that I would want nothing to do with.
You talk a lot about a guy that you don't really care about. He comes up a lot.
I don't get the ascension.
It obviously bothers you.
No.
You need closure.
No.
Yes, you do.
What do I need closure for?
Because look at what it's doing. It's killing you.
It's eating you up inside.
It is.
You're like Apollo Creed.
I don't ever think about it.
No one can mention Pro Football Talker, his name, without you going off.
Well, but that's what I do. I'm just kind of
snarky. I know, but, you know, one less thing for you to go off is not a bad thing.
I do.
You need to get
closure. I like having things to go off on.
You need to get closure.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Huh? Okay, next year at the Combine, I'll say whatever you can tell
no,
me. You and I will be there again. No?
What am I going to have to
just
be there
say,
again?
Hey, Mike, you know, I thought I'd introduce myself. I'm Andy Hart. I'm the guy that we kind of went back and forth on. And
no, we actually didn't. I don't know if I can say that. Forget
although me. We could set it up that way, where we just go to the Combine and he goes to the owners' meetings, if that's going to be part of our rotation.
That
now.
Would be a good get for me. Yeah, I don't want to go with him.
I don't want to go to the owners' meeting, so.
Perfect. Eric goes to the owners' meetings. We go to the Combine. African Queen solved.
At least we actually get to talk to people at the Combine.
Right.
Well, there's people to talk to at the owners' meeting. You have the breakfast, and you have.
Yeah, just not anybody related to the Patriots.
Yeah, Belichick shows up eventually.
Active hallways, Peter King.
Yeah, that's true. We can interview
Why
the media.
Why do we want to talk to Peter King?
Well, he seems to know everything about the Patriots. He's not the really. Guy that broke the Brady story.
So just
got,
so
he's
you,
the guy that right. fed the Brady story.
So let's attack this from a different angle. Let's okay. just say for argument's sake that I walked up to Peter King and I wanted to do an interview with him. And he knew all about the Brady story. You think he's going to tell me that before he reports it?
No, not before he reports it.
So he's not going to help us.
How did what, you know?
Whatever media, he reports is the
media
report.
Interviewing media is not
yeah,
really.
Paul doesn't like that.
No,
I don't really
I just,
either.
Yeah. I, listen, on a like if we had him on our show right now, this show, that's great. I think if we had Peter King on this show, or like we had him Adam Schefter on before,
right.
That's
talk.
Not,
talking
yeah,
about
it's talk.
The
events.
NFL in general.
Yeah, not, I'm talking about, like I'm writing a story. I'm not going to interview a media person for my story.
Right.
Now, an analyst or like a former player or something, that's different.
Right.
Like Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
Now, he could help you with your story on Patriots linebackers. That's different.
Right.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The latest issue of Patriots Football Weekly is on newsstands today. So
go get it.
So you can go pick
Tom
that
Brady
up.
On the cover, always a page turn. Whenever
also
Tom.
Has your free agent list if you're looking to keep
Actually,
track.
It's on the newsstands tomorrow. It's being printed this morning, right?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Which means it'll be in your mailbox 3 weeks.
Should have it before the draft.
But if you had Patriots Football Daily, you could get it today,
yeah.
And you'd have your updated free agent list.
That's right.
So you'd be prepped. You can cross guys off, circle guys you want.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Updated.
So if you do have an iPad, Patriots Football Daily is the way to go. Download it. If you're a subscriber, you get it free. If not, you get a 7-day trial, and then you can decide whether or not you want to subscribe.
And of course you'd want it. I mean, everything.
It's great.
There.
Good
it's
combine stuff.
It's got everything.
Oh, yeah, well, whole combine. Combing the Combine 2013. Paul and Andy. Everything. News
exhaustive,
and notes out of Indy.
Exhaustive research from Indy.
Yep.
Lots of good stuff in this issue. This is our coming up on our good issues.
All
this
right.
one, the draft preview, the draft review. Good time of year to subscribe
it
to
is.
PFW.
Issues 2, 3, and 4 are... underrated. Yeah. In terms of offseason, that's where it's at, those three issues.
All right, so the Welker story is on everyone's mind. Over the weekend, we talked about Peter King breaking the Brady story. Then he had a follow-up where apparently he had a one-on-one with Robert Kraft, and the owner of the Patriots weighed in on the deal. He had some interesting things to say, answered a lot of what was out there in terms of you know what this deal meant. One of the things he said is it's a real deal. It's not fake at the end. And, you know, like I was talking with Paul, that puts a lot of pressure on him now because now in 2015, you know, if he sits down and redoes something with Brady, people will go back to that comment and say, well, you know, you said this was a real.
Yeah, but you can get around that.
Of course you can, but.
Because you can say Brady wants to redo it. Like, you know, he's the impetus
well, I think
behind
that's,
this.
But I think that's what everybody thinks.
Right.
No, but.
Is that Brady's not going to play for $7 million.
Robert is saying, we signed this deal. From our perspective, this is a 5-year deal.
Right.
Now Brady can say, well, I won't be in camp if you think I'm playing
but
under that.
But isn't that the way they all go?
Yes, but he's saying it's not. Already agreed to that we'll visit this in a couple years.
Yeah, okay.
Of course he is.
Right.
But
that's why I don't think he's in that big of a corner.
See,
Brady
do.
Said he wants to redo
I
it
do.
Or he'll retire. Well, we better redo it then if he's still playing well.
And I think that if that happens, then what he said you know, to Peter King is not accurate.
Yeah, I know.
Now, in terms of,
I guess I'm just with the owner.
In terms of caring about public perception or whatnot, or you know, as opposed to doing what you feel is in the best interest of your team, I think that Mr. Kraft did what he thinks is in the best interest of the team. You don't really worry about, right. You know, in 2015, if what Andy just said, you know, Tom has two more very productive seasons and he remains to be at the top of the quarterback food chain. And he wants more money, you give him more money. I mean, I don't worry about that if I'm Mr. Kraft. I mean, you have to do what's best interest of your football team.
Yep.
And, you know, if people want to criticize you for what you said to Peter King, so what? Let them.
People forget, too, except they don't, because did you notice everybody was comparing his comments to what he said about Drew when they signed the extension back then? And this time it was Montana and whatever, didn't want to see him playing. And back then it was when Drew signed a 10-year, $100 million deal. I remember when Bobby Orr left the Bruins and went to, you don't want to see that as a fan, and this right. deal allows Brady to finish his. How many months after that was Brady, I mean, Bledsoe no longer a Patriot?
Well, then somebody else started calling the shots. but the other thing he said was, you know, I heard that with this came demands from Brady on signings, and he said that's absolutely not true. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. That one I don't know that I 100% buy. I'm not, you know, demand, request, hope. You know, you can use different words in there. And everybody, Brady has always been adamant that he doesn't play a part in personnel.
Right.
You know, he tries to be a good teammate. And, you know, if they ask him something, he'll say, but he's been very adamant that he's, because a lot of people said that about Peyton Manning. That he, you know, boom, boom, boom. He was running the show to some degree in Indy, and he would kind of force them and tell them what. Brady has always been very adamant that that's not him. So, yeah, that could be Brady telling Robert, make sure you say that I didn't ask for Welker to be re-signed. But by the way, re-sign Welker. You know, there's a lot goes on behind the scenes.
Well, I mean, it had to, maybe not specifically Welker, but obviously it came up when Kraft said, look, this is what we kind of need in order to, you know, sign guys. You know, we
yeah,
need that
but
room.
Like.
You know, so
you know, if they let Welker walk and they go, oh, by the way, we use some of your money to give Brandon Lloyd that $3 million, I think Brady would go ballistic.
Right. But, you know, if we use some of that money to get Mike Wallace.
Sure.
It might be different.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. I think he wants Welker here.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we pretty safe to say that he wants Welker here?
I think so, you know.
And he's dealt enough with other receivers that didn't work out well, that he didn't necessarily click with, that he wants him here, just like he wanted Deion here.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to not click with people. Yeah. Even if you're spending money for him to not click with people, he'd rather click with the guy that he has.
All right, so all that's on the table. Anything else? You know, league-wide, Dwayne Bowe signed a new
big
contract
deal
with the Kansas City Chiefs. They ended up using a franchise tag on a lineman.
$56 million for Brandon. No.
For
Dwayne Bowe.
Brandon Albert was the lineman that got the franchise
yeah.
tag.
What else? Any other big
Well, there news? Were other tags.
Michael
I mean,
Turner
Spencer.
Got released from the Falcons, which I thought that was a little bit surprising.
Well, he had a terrible year.
Yeah, but...
Wasn't that
yeah.
a while ago?
Yeah, he failed his physical, too.
Yeah.
According to the...
yeah, if you're going to go to the Falcons reports. Cuts, John Abraham is the one you'd potentially have interest in, even though you geeks, you analytics was part of it, apparently, that he you know didn't have any production against good teams or in the division, that his 20 sacks over the last 2 years were all cheap, and I'd take him. You know, tell me he's not better than Trevor Scott or Brandon Dedrick.
I would take my shot with virtually out. Any of those veteran edge rushers, you know, the Freeney types, Abraham.
Umanyora.
I would take my shot with any of those guys. Not looking to invest, you know, long term, obviously.
Michael Holly deal?
But well, no. I would give them $4 or $5 million. You know, you're not going to get them for,
right.
I mean.
Sean Ellis deal.
You don't just get these guys for nothing. These guys have an established track record, and even if they're beyond, you know, their prime or whatever, they're not going to come back and put themselves through it for
no.
the veteran minimum.
No, they've earned a certain status.
All three of those players have earned something, you know, $3, $4, $5 million. I mean, I don't want to go crazy, but one-year deal,
sure.
I'd do that. Or, you know, or fake two-year deal where you can sort of spread right. it out a little bit.
Sure. Okay. Anything else? No?
Yeah, it was, you know, only 8 franchise tags used altogether as opposed to 21 from last year. So maybe, you know, teams looked at the numbers and they just didn't feel like it was, you know, quote-unquote value.
Did anybody use transitions? There was all that talk of transitions.
Didn't see anybody use a transition.
Nope.
So that was all much talk.
Which
about
I don't really get. You know, and we've talked about this a lot. I don't think. I think the difference between the franchise and the transition is so minimal that why would you expose your player?
Right.
And then you're at the mercy.
Look at the price difference. It's not that much.
You're at the mercy of the offer sheet that they potentially sign. Now you either have to match that offer sheet, and you don't have a say in the parameters of the deal that you're going to have. So I don't. I think that's why that you don't see the transition. I don't think that it's that. You don't save that much.
We didn't mention Flacco. He got a huge deal over the weekend. $20 million a year.
He broke the Andy Paul rule though, of not getting half. Guaranteed, only $52 million guaranteed.
So did Bo a little bit.
Yeah,
he was at 26
saw that he was a little bit lower.
Out of 56, maybe that's coming down. Maybe it's now like the 45% rule. But yeah, he got highest paid until Rodgers done.
And he laughed about it. He goes, "Yeah, you know, so I'll enjoy the 6 months until someone signs a contract."
But it was clearly all about respect for him.
Yeah,
it's not like he wanted the money. I mean,
he wanted
yes, 120 is nice, but it was about respect. He felt like he was a top tier $20 million quarterback, and he wanted his contract.
And you
to
know, and
that.
Listen to this guy over the last couple of years. Andy and I have been very critical of some of his press conferences. He's always bitching and moaning, not about money. He's always bitching and moaning about his perception.
Right.
And this, to him, I think, was sort of validation that
I am
one of those guys. I won a Super Bowl. I was a big part of the reason why we won a Super Bowl. He didn't say this, but I think that's what he's talking about when he says respect.
And if anyone ever goes back and does, like, year by year, the highest paid players in history, he's in that slot now until he gets bumped up by Rodgers. But no one can take that away.
Yep. All right.
I wouldn't have done it, by the way. We talked about this yesterday.
I would have.
I'd be scared to death.
Oh,
I like Flacco, but
I would have done it.
The way this contract is set up.
Am I paying a guy $1 million per touchdown pass in the regular season?
The way the contract is set up, I absolutely would have done it. I agree with you, Fred. I think that he's a starting quarterback in this league. They're not looking to make any changes, and it's, you know, it seems
like
a very reasonable deal.
I wouldn't have been happy with it because you couldn't let him walk. I mean, you can't. No one has the stones to do
that. It's not like the last time the Ravens won the Super Bowl when they had a quarterback that had absolutely nothing to do with them winning and they let him walk.
No, this was a...
Because it was uncanny that
no
it was
chance
same.
That he was going anywhere.
You know, how many teams win a Super Bowl with a legitimate, unrestricted free agent quarterback? And they did
a trick question?
They did it twice. I mean,
you know,
seriously, no, I don't know if there are any other examples. There might be 10, for all I know. But it seems to me a pretty unique situation without doing any of the research, of course. We're on the radio, so this research is not required. But, you know, strippers will tell us that we're wrong. But Trent Dilfer, you know, won the Super Bowl, and he was an unrestricted free agent. Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl and became an unrestricted free agent and obviously didn't get there because he signed before it. But what are the odds of that? I don't see that happening very often. Usually if you win a Super Bowl, you're pretty settled at quarterback. Mm. Right?
What about Brad Johnson? What was he?
Yeah, he was still in Tampa Bay. I don't know if he was a free agent and they re-signed him. You know, you might be right.
All right.
But certainly guys like Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady and Eli and Peyton Manning weren't, you know, pending free agents when they won their Super Bowls.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to some of these emails. There was something I was going to say, and I forgot what it was.
You're going to have to write down what you want to eat.
I said I wanted a veal cutlet toasted. Who's paying? Is the question.
I'll put it on mine.
Yeah, I guess somebody's paying. All right. Let's go to some emails.
You want anything over there?
Dave in New Orleans writes
you
in.
You can get anything. You want something? You get a little something nice for yourself. Yeah, you go ahead. You put something a little nice, a little extra for yourself.
Dave says, hey, guys, great show. Don't ever change.
What is this, my high school yearbook?
Pretty safe to say we won't.
Can we talk about
somebody important tells us to.
Can we talk about the white elephant in the room or in limbo from San Francisco? Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a fit this year for the veteran need at wide receiver,
no,
a plug-in turnkey operation. Or did he, as my brother opines, that the Moss somehow dissed the Kraft family in some unmentionable way and is toast in New England? What are your thoughts, pros and cons, on the Moss man in New England for 2013?
The con is he's not that good.
Yeah, he just can't play.
The con is the only team he beat deep was us, and everybody does that.
The pros are he would come right in and ostensibly know what he's doing.
Yes.
The cons are that not that good.
No, but you'd be getting
Couldn't he catch 25 passes last year?
You'd be getting Brandon Lloyd. You'd be getting the deep threat who's not really the deep threat anymore, so you'd be asking him to run more like possession routes on the sideline and things like that, and yeah, no. Now, I don't think there is an unmentionable. If there were, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be able to mention it. But like,
oh, I don't know of any specific thing other than what everybody knows.
Right, and the whole kind of pain
that
in
he
the
bitched
ass
and moaned.
But
his
I don't
way
think it's
town.
Like he, you know, did anything specific to the crafts or would make him untouchable.
No, I think it's more Belichick wouldn't want to deal with it
because
I wonder how much that was Brady too.
Could be.
But they both would deal with it if he was still catching 23 touchdowns and you know averaging 17 a catch.
They probably would have re-signed him and extended his contract here, and he would still be here.
If he could still do that, he'd probably still be here.
I remember the other thing I was thinking of.
Your boot?
Over the weekend, I
Fred's in a walking boot. Did you guys discuss that at the beginning of the show?
No, we should.
What? Why?
Tell him about your...
I have a little Achilles tendonitis.
You've been limping.
Yeah,
a lot, very badly, for months and months now. He originally thought it was because he sat on
it. Well, you heard it from watching a football game.
Yeah. I mean, you said it was because you sat on a ream of paper because you were too short in
I
the press
maybe.
Box.
Yeah.
I don't know how you thought sitting on your
lower.
Ass hurt your Achilles and whatever. Then you thought you heard it when you
damage.
Cut a tree down and did it improperly.
I
had
never
to,
said that.
You did. You said it might have been.
I didn't know about the tree.
Remember he cut the tree and he
was
too big
away?
A chunk out of one side,
and
so instead of falling, it slid, and he had to run. He had to push off real quick. He almost died.
Yeah, I do remember that. That's funny because he's fat.
Now you're just saying it's because you're fat, like he just said.
The thing that I remembered was I've come to the conclusion that the Patriots should roll the dice in the first round and get Honey Badger.
In the first round?
In the first round.
No way.
Yeah, I don't think you have to do that.
I think he might not be gone late in the second round.
Well, how about we get him earlier?
Get him
second.
Earlier in the second round. Move up in the second round.
Well, I say you could do it without having to move up.
Yeah, use your first round pick on him.
So you just want to like target every single bad guy. This is like the Paul Perillo draft from last year. Remember when I wanted every guy, Janoris Jenkins? I wanted every guy that had a black mark.
He smoked pot.
Well, he did a little bit more than that.
And he smoked pot enough so that a football factory had to kick him out.
I mean, he did some jail time, didn't he? I mean, I know he was in rehab.
He was, he was arrested. And I don't know if it was like halfway house rehab jail
okay.
time. But think how much you have to do at a place like LSU before. Yeah. I mean,
well,
you're,
I know.
You're
I mean,
a
he was
Heisman
suspended multiple times.
Defensive candidate who got kicked out of LSU.
For some reason, I believe him when he says now that he's been had it taken away.
Fred,
he realizes
he
how
was very believable.
No, now you're on different. Now you're on different arguments. I'm with you on that.
I think
that.
He's one of the type of playmakers exactly like you say that this team needs.
The other issue is
you get rid
him.
Of Chung.
Well, but what is he?
He's a safety.
Well.
But he's not.
That's not what he was in college.
No?
No, he was a corner in college. A lot of people think that he could be
he's like
a slot truly corner elite slot corner.
But are you taking now you're
he's
saying
too small to be
I'm
a
taking a chance on a guy off field and on field I don't really have an ideal position where he's a marquee guy.
I think he's what
I want him for.
Listen, I'll take him.
Because he's
him
a playmaker.
And
that's what I want.
And you use the exact
before
phrase.
Before he had this trouble, he was slotted to go. He was like a first round
pick. Oh, absolutely.
He was gonna be a Heisman.
He was gonna be a Heisman Trophy candidate.
You know, Manti Te'o took his spot as the defensive Heisman candidate.
He's tremendous. He was at LSU. He was as impactful a defensive player as the country had.
LaMichael James was too. And I mean, you got to find out what that guy is at the next level.
He's very small.
Twiggy, tiny.
He's what's he like? 5'9"?
Frail, small.
He did not look that way at
he
the
is.
Combine.
He is. You didn't go to the combine.
I saw
we
the pictures,
did, but you can't compare.
Pictures don't do it.
I'm
justice.
Not saying he has no muscle.
It's like
but
Tavon
he's
Austin.
Frail.
The
frame is tiny.
You can look at the numbers that come on the page for Tavon Austin. Okay, I'm telling you from standing 3 feet away from him, he made Wes Welker look big.
Okay,
Tavon Austin is an unbelievably dynamic player who I would be intrigued to watch in the NFL and see how he fits. But he is really, really small, and I'm not sure that you can withstand, you know, the rigors of those hits. That you know, listen, I would have said the same thing just looking at Welker. But I think that's what makes Welker unique.
And I know Bill says, you know, slot corner is now a starting job in the NFL. So, you know, that whole Antoine Kayson, when they drafted him kind of in this era, you got to match up with Welker. You got to do that. But is that what you need slash want with your first round pick on a guy who already has other issues? If he didn't have those issues, if he was perfect off the field, now maybe you talk yourself into
but
he's
then,
a first round pick as a slot
and
corner.
And then we wouldn't have a shot at him. But because of those issues, we have a shot at him.
I think you might have had a shot at him either way.
Yeah.
I think the position, the lack of position would have made him a late first-round
pick.
My
instincts tell me go for it.
Your instincts said that Robert Gallery was the best offensive lineman on the field.
Now, The reason that you want to, that you're convinced, Fred, the same line is the one that sold me. And I said it to Andy. Andy laughed at me and goes, "You always like the bad guys." And he was making fun of me.
No, I just think it's funny that he used to make fun of us for, like, you know, rating these guys on their believability and off-field stuff, and he comes back and, "Oh, Honey Badger's fine." He said he's fine.
I didn't say that. He's so ridiculous.
And
but the line that he said about having it taken away from me and understanding how much that meant to him and not ever wanting to put himself in a position where he lost football again, it resonated with me. Now, listen, maybe he's full of crap. I don't know.
There's a chance.
There is a chance. There's absolutely a chance.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He knows how he feels when football is taken away. He doesn't know how he feels when he's driving his Escalade, and in his first three games as a rookie, he has two picks, one that he returned for a touchdown. He helped the Patriots to a big win, and everybody's lauding him as this imp. Right. He doesn't know how he's going to react. He goes to Boston, and they're treating Honey Badger like he's the greatest thing in being all this crap.
Add in there, he knows what it's like without football. Does he know what life is like without weed? Because evidently he couldn't stay away from it.
Well,
it was
you believe him for the
it
last...
It was synthetic marijuana. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff. He's been without it for what? 6 months?
Yeah,
8 months?
That's a decent amount of time without
weed. What happens if he tries to go 2 years?
I don't know much about drugs, but isn't that like a decent amount of time for weed?
I think you can always go back.
October 26th.
No, you could always go back, but
like
I'm saying, like, does he crave it right now? I mean, I don't know how these work necessarily. Yeah.
No,
but
if it's anything like nicotine, if you're off 6 months,
that's
pretty
good. It's been like 4 months, four and a half.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about that as I am just. You forget how bad things were when you fall back into being the glamour boy who everybody loves, who everybody's, you know, you want to come here.
But that's what I'm saying.
And you get with some teammates, because as he said, there's marijuana in the NFL, so I'm guessing there's marijuana in this locker room. You get with certain teammates, and you're partying, and, you know, all of a sudden
Esco grows it in his locker.
I don't even know what that means.
But that's part of my whole point.
He stuns me one time a show where I'm just left speechless.
Yeah. What else can you add to that? But that's part
we're
of what I'm talking about. We're
now accusing our punter of growing weed in his locker.
You're talking about the Escalades, Fred, Andy. You're talking about the Escalades and the situation, you know, with the Honey Badger and all this stuff. That the 4.5 months that he's been without weed, he hasn't been in that environment.
No, but
he's
if
been
he
in
was
rehab.
Truly addicted, he could get it. I don't know how marijuana works personally. I don't know.
But
all
what
the,
I'm saying is he addicted to
Oz.
That lifestyle when he, like you said, he's now in the NFL and he knows that weed is prevalent in the NFL, and he goes out with his friends
once
and his,
he gets
and his
back
fellow
into
rookies.
The lifestyle
can he operate without that?
That's what I think.
You know, kind of like me and my Miller Lights. You know, when we go out, you know, I can't be without it.
Your boycott lasted what? 1 week?
One road trip.
Yeah. So. I just feel like take the chance.
I'd take the chance, just not in the first. I'm talking myself into the second. I felt really comfortable in the third.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the guy can play, but I'm a little worried about where he fits, because I don't think he can play safety, Fred.
No?
No, I don't think he can play safety, and I think he's going to have his issues with size against, you know, Anquan Boldin is a possession receiver who he might have to battle.
He's
what
kind
are you going to do with him?
You know,
This is this and this and
there's
thick
some
and not thick.
There's some bigger slot receivers,
like
too.
Welker,
they're not all Welker.
Okay, you know, line up with him. Danny Amendola, okay, line up with him. You know, some of those he would probably do very well on. And the way he's a playmaker, he'd probably win some of the other bigger battles, guys that he doesn't necessarily match up perfectly with. But it's still a question as to the value of that position and can he fill the role to a point where
he's on my list,
pick.
Fred. I'm not, you know, listen, the days of just
anybody who's gone to jail is on your list.
Well, well, certainly he's on the Patriots.
Yeah.
The way we've been drafting lately.
Right.
I mean, you're better off counting the guys that didn't have
who did we draft last year that had already been to jail?
Already been to jail? Probably nobody.
Thank you.
Although he was pending. Alfonso Denner was pending.
Right, and he's going to be sentenced by a judge.
We knew that going in. He was pending.
Yeah, but maybe they thought he was going to win. They figured like
I
did.
Right.
Maybe they figured like I did. He's in Nebraska. They're all Nebraska fans. Who's going to convict him?
Well, he's probably not going to go to jail, but he could.
Right.
He was found guilty.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
See, that list on NFL.com is why I don't go to that site. Because the third name on that list was Andre Smith.
Yes.
Okay. So when they post stuff like that, I just immediately
I love
close
these
the
guys that fall in love
else.
With offensive linemen like they matter.
Oh, he had like four offensive linemen in the top five or something. Andy Levitre, I believe, was like fourth.
The guy from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Another one. Stupid.
Paul, you can always get a guard named Andy Levitre. He'll give you a lift.
Just dumb.
Every year there's at least one or two playoff teams that have absolutely no semblance of an offensive line. Indianapolis, Green Bay.
You know
they have,
why?
Like, nobody that can even
you
block anybody.
You know why they
anybody.
Usually do? Because they have like impact players, impact receivers, spots. Impact playmakers at cornerback that turn, you know, bad throws into pick sixes.
I mean, I'm not advocating getting the worst offensive line that you can and just hoping that you can get by, but there's enough examples.
No, but are you advocating we couldn't get Wallace, so let's go get the best right tackle, Sebastian Vollmer, with all our free agency money, because that'll really, you know, make us better. Greg Rosenthal.
Yep.
Check.
And
wow, you just
I got beef with the fans.
I got beef. Christian got beef.
Let me see. Is it about Welker?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
If I hear the name Randy Moss one more time.
I
mean,
he's a Pied Piper. People love him.
I know.
And I like him too. But
we should re-sign him and then sign Talib.
He just, I like him. I like him as a player. You know,
what
and
do you
I
mean by,
and as a person, but
Pied Piper.
He just can't do it anymore. He's
I
not
did
worth
too.
It.
And but this isn't 07.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody thinks, let's get him back. Did you see he caught the touchdown pass against us against San Francisco? You want to sign Delanie Walker, Michael Crabtree, too, while you're at it? Because they smoked us in that game, too.
Well, Delanie Walker's available.
And the Patriots loved Crabtree coming out.
And they love that kind of player, that Delanie Walker.
Oh, I do, too. I'm all for Delanie Walker.
You know, but the reason I called for those two things was, what do you think the chances of them, because they showed interest in him in 2011, of getting a guy like Deshaun Goldston, or you think his price is going to be too high?
Too high, I think. I mean, he's a guy that was franchised. He's a free agent again. I think his reputation
I don't know what I think
better than he is. He's a physical guy. He's not afraid to bang into piles. I've never been in love with him. Every time I watch him, I just go, eh.
I think Patriots fans like him more because they know how close we came to signing him, like Christian just said, in 2011. And I think they see him making plays for a really good defense once in a while. And he is a physical guy. He'll hit you. And that's what they lack in the back end. I'm just not sure how good he is.
And it's hard to put a value on that. You know, like Rodney said, you know, they need a physical guy. They need like a Bernard Pollard. Well, I've never thought Bernard Pollard was all that good. And maybe Goldson is that.
If anybody else
and maybe
thought
it's
that,
the
that he
perfect
wouldn't have been
fit.
On 17s.
Right. And maybe he's the perfect fit for what you need. I just don't. I feel like I'd watch him and say, yeah, he hits a little bit. But are we that much better with him out there than...
Yeah, now that's a guy. If I can get him for my Michael Hawley contract, if I can
sure.
get him on my terms, I think he's an addition. But I think he's gonna. I think Christian's right. I think he's gonna be too expensive.
And my guess is he's gonna end up one of the guys because they're gonna start to have to pair payroll in San Francisco on defense and pick who the guys are and who the guys aren't. That
and you're
Baltimore
seeing that already.
Style.
They've done it with the linebackers
he's
already.
He's gonna go, and I think they'll be fine without him. And the other team will say, he's just okay.
So you would rather address that position through the draft?
Yeah. It's a very deep safety draft.
Who's
and
your
there's
psycho?
Some of these hitters.
Your psycho from
my
South
two
Carolina,
guys, Swearinger,
right?
Swearinger and Rambo are the two guys I like. It seem like they're going to be second or third round picks. Now, Fred wants Honey Badger. I don't know if we can get both of those, but those are my two guys, Honey Badger and Rambo.
Yep.
Well,
no.
We get one
Swearinger.
Yeah, Swearinger and Rambo. Oh, yeah. And they're going to be available, and they may like somebody else, but one of the first positions everybody this year mentions is safety. Oh. No matter, you know, Dimitroff, Mayock, Casario, the first thing they all say is how good the safety class is. Well, we need a safety.
Hopefully we get him.
All right, Christian.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Patrick in Springfield, Mass. He's writing in. He says, first off, I was shocked. But kind of relieved that the Patriots didn't use the tag on anyone this year. It makes me think that a long-term deal with Welker is imminent and that they won't want to eat up a good chunk of cap space this year on Seabass or Talib. Also, I commented on Eric's free agent wish list and brought up a player he left off. Sean Smith, cornerback formerly of the Dolphins. Is there a discernible difference in the style of play between him and Talib? He's a big, physical, can run, and can sometimes... look like a real number one corner. The only difference I see between him and Talib is kind of a douchebag who gets himself into legal trouble and trouble with the league. If the Patriots were able to come to an agreement with him this offseason and he tested positive for anything, he'd have an automatic one-year suspension. I'm all set. Smith is younger, taller, and can stay on the field, something Talib seems to struggle with. So what he's saying is Talib
is risky.
Right.
Can you guys help me out, Talib's playing history in Tampa Bay in terms of health?
I think he was relatively healthy.
Yeah, I don't think the health was an issue there.
Yeah, why?
It was an issue here.
No, I understand that, but he was here for 7 weeks,
yeah,
and he
was
got hurt.
Like three of them.
I know, he got hurt.
Yeah.
But so now suddenly, you know, he's a durability problem. And listen,
plus I think people wonder, was he hurt or was he injured?
I don't think
he was standing next to Bill.
Yeah,
he could have played.
I hate that.
Told me I could have played. I didn't play. I could have played. I would have played.
See, I hate that. That people think because it was a hamstring pull that he should have been out there playing.
I thought it was like a hip.
It was a hamstring in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, but the first
injury
was
a hip originally, a hip pointer. But, you know, I just don't like the whole idea of he's not durable because, well, the 7 weeks that he was a Patriot, he was hurt. I don't know. Maybe
but that plays into your evaluation of him. You had a half a season, and the half of the season you saw, you only saw half of him.
But when it comes to injuries, it's only fair to look at his history, you know.
Right.
Because everyone's going to get injured.
And that's why I asked.
No, I know, but I'm saying part of the reason all along I wanted to franchise him is I didn't have enough time to decide whether I want to commit to him long term.
Right. Yeah, no, I think everything Patrick said about the player and whatnot is accurate. I think he's a risk, and I wouldn't want to. I don't want him long term. You know, there's a difference to me. You know, Fred, you always make fun of me and this whole draft thing. When guys have these, like, marijuana things in their past, that's okay with me. You know, because I don't think that is along the lines of, you know, a gun charge where he shot a gun at somebody. And, you know, yeah, he was, I think he got off on that one. The charges were dropped, I think, on that particular one eventually. But, you know, the violence with his teammates, those I don't want necessarily Aqib Talib on my team. Now, listen, he fit in last year. He had no problems with that stuff. But I agree with Patrick. I wouldn't be willing to invest in him long term because of that stuff.
Pat also says, I'd like to see them obviously get another wideout, something I've been clamoring for, which seems like months now. Jennings or Wallace would be nice. And I'm with you guys. Get rid of Bambi. It was a nice idea, but we don't need someone who can't make catches in stride and makes the easy ones look impossible. Can't wait to listen to the podcast. You all make the offseason more bearable, and I'm counting the days to the draft. Each year, you guys seem to top your previous year's show. Enough of the man love or men love. Thanks for the read. That's Pat in Springfield, Mass.
Oh, good job, Fred. Remembered last minute.
LT at Adelaide. I want to ask one really stupid question about the salary cap. What happens to a player's contract when they retire? Does the money on signing bonus and roster bonus still get prorated, or does that money disappear? I think it would be ridiculous if, say, we signed Brady to a 10-year, $30 million extension, then prorated the signing bonus over 10 years to get more cap space now, but then his contract disappears when he retires in 3 years.
It doesn't disappear. Well, you're also only limited to 5 years or six?
Six for cap purposes, I believe. Or is it five?
It's either five or six is the limit for prorating bonus money.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do that anyway. And, yes, it stays on your cap. And as we mentioned in the past, you know, teams have pursued, not pursued, trying to get it back. There was the whole Jake Plummer thing when he retired, and they actually traded his contract so the team could pursue it to get cap this, because I believe the Bucks were attempting to recoup the signing bonus so they could get some extra cap money on their cap. It was a weird, finagled situation. But, yeah, it's still on your cap.
I would also love to hear what you guys think about the cap and free agency this year. To me, this year's free agent crop and the cap reminds me of the early 2000s when we won Super Bowls. It would seem to me that teams are cutting overvalued players due to the cap being restricted for the first time in about 5 years. I think that Bill would go the early 2000 route in free agency, targeting not the elite players but the economically sound players who are good, solid players in the ilk of Roman Pfeiffer, Rodney Harrison, Mike Vrabel. I think the elite talent in free agency are overvalued and cost way too much for what they bring, and solid guys like Cullen Jenkins, Brian Hartline may be more in line with Bill's thinking.
I think there's a chance that they're looking at it that way. Now, you need to hope that it plays out that way, because there is still plenty of cap room out there. I haven't seen the comparison year over year, but there are a bunch of teams with a lot more money than the Patriots, and the Patriots have $25 million. There are $35, $45 million teams out there, so there are teams with plenty to spend, and there'll be teams that'll make some moves if they have to spend, you know, like the Jets did. You know, we talked about, oh, the Jets are over the cap until they cut a bunch of guys who can't play, who suck, who aren't good anymore, and went well under the cap in one swift move. So I'd like to see that number, available 32-team cap space heading into free agency this year compared to last.
Somebody will probably dig that up for us before the end of the show. James in Brisbane. Hey, guys, is Eric dead yet?
Hope so.
You hope so?
It
would be a good story. And Andy only, you know, he's a journalist, so he roots for the story.
Have you been following him on Instagram?
No.
I haven't either, but some people have showed me the photos, and the general consensus is that he's on a fraudulent safari that's
really?
Sort of like pampered and not real and very...
Oh, we knew that.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm actually glad to hear that because I really didn't... I sided with Andy. I think Andy, you know, browbeats Eric. I know that's kind of hard to imagine.
What, me?
But I sided with Andy on that. If he was going on like a real safari and he's never even camped before, I worried about how he was going to handle that. And it sounds he's not really
this
on.
Is like, this is pampered.
Sounds like he's not really on a camping trip.
He's not really on a safari.
One of our listeners actually looked into his.
He's in Florida, the animal kingdom.
And into the outfit that he's using and said, yeah, it's pretty high
class. This isn't a real safari. This is.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the chair with the poles and they carry you around.
This is elitist. As always with him, it's an elitist safari.
Right.
It's an elitist
big nose
safari.
In the air.
Yeah, there was a fake Eric Twitter account going around.
Yeah, getting fights with Jason Lockenfora.
Which I don't understand, but, you know, if you're going to make fun of Eric, okay, but why are you attacking Jason Lockenfora of all people?
And why is Jason Lockenfora responding to a guy with 4 followers?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought it was funny. One of the tweets was, the Wi-Fi in my yurt is excellent.
My yurt.
I like, does anyone know the legal age in Africa or something?
The African queen.
James in Brisbane says, I was doing a bit of thinking about what if Welker left the Patriots and if we see a scheme change at all. I don't read too much into the report about his mild disdain for the team, but I do accept there's a chance he could go. If he does, I think we could see the Patriots change their scheme a bit and move to a more traditional 2 tight end, 2 receiver set where the 2 main receivers are more outside type guys with 1 big body possession receiver like a David Nelson or Hartline. I guess Hartline signed with the...
Oh, he did?
I know they were really close.
Reports were that it was close. I don't believe it's...
Okay, I need to make an adjustment to my SPFW then.
And a speed guy, can't think of a name here, slot duty... Then goes to the re-signed Edelman, who plays 30 to 40 snaps per game in sub-packages. How would you build a receiving core if Welker does go? Is my idea totally crazy or only a little bit? Love to hear your thoughts on this hypothetical. I mean, if Welker goes, yeah, they...
I'll say this. I am kind of curious to see if the Patriots change the direction of the offense. Because I wonder if... You know, the whole notion of, you know, the playmaker thing that Andy and I, you know, harp on all the time, and you get against these good defenses in postseason games and it's hard to convert in the red zone and it's hard to put up enough points. I wonder if that's part of it, and maybe they just need to change. And I think the Patriots sort of have become what they are right now offensively, extremely productive in the regular season, but not as productive in the postseason. And I wonder if maybe they look at that and say, we need to change what we're doing a little bit.
Well, you know, I wouldn't give up on the experiment yet because we've yet to see the healthy Gronk and the healthy Hernandez together this last year. We didn't see that at all, really. They were on the field at the same time, but never healthy, you know?
Yeah, but what are the odds you're going to get everybody healthy in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, but that's the whole idea, is having Gronk and Hernandez on the field at the same time and create all those matchups.
Well, they were all on the field at the same time last year in the playoffs, in 2011.
In 2011?
Yeah.
Yeah, but once you got to the Super Bowl, Gronk was
hurt.
No,
I know, but
they weren't.
But they weren't as productive, is my point.
Well,
in the playoffs,
they would have won the Super Bowl, and
I agree with you. I think if Gronk was healthy in the Super Bowl, I think they would have won it. But you can't argue that they weren't as productive in the playoffs as they were in the regular season, you know, except for the game against Denver, the non-playoff team.
Right. Well, there was only one other game.
Other games, Baltimore and the Giants.
Yeah. Well, I think if Gronk was healthy in that game, they would have won.
I know, but
he wasn't
healthy. You're missing my point.
They didn't
score as much as they normally do.
Because
they didn't move the ball as well as they normally do.
Because Gronk wasn't healthy.
Okay, well, what about the other game?
Ravens have a good defense. They match up well with the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to guess they're going to see teams at some point that have good defenses that can match up well with you. Can you do something different to match up well with them?
I don't think you have to change the scheme is what I'm saying.
I'm not sitting here telling you that they have to overhaul the offense. It's the most productive offense in football.
Right.
They've led the league in scoring for whatever, the better part of the last 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yep.
I'm not suggesting they need to tear it up and start all over again, but I'm wondering if they look at it and say, if we lose Welker, maybe we don't have to go out and get Danny Amendola. and just keep it all the same.
Right. No,
plug
no.
Julian Edelman in and
I don't think
keep
they,
it all the
yeah,
same.
I don't think
Let's
gonna,
do it different.
I think they're going to have to because I don't think you can plug a guy in and get Welker's production. And if that's the case, then you have to kind of split those numbers up other places.
And I wonder if maybe they might be better served saying, okay, the number one option doesn't have to be Wes Welker on X percentage of snaps, which it certainly seems is the case now. Maybe they do it differently. And I don't know if that's going to be good or bad. I'm wondering if they feel that way. And
well,
they,
the
that
plan
they need
was
to, change.
To do it differently last year with Hernandez.
Clearly.
Based on everything we saw from July 28th through the second week of the season.
Which is the root, if you want to believe the Jason Cole story, of the quote-unquote disdain. It's stuck in his craw, as the source that
would
told
be mine
Jason,
too.
Jason Cole.
I never get hurt and I catch everything. That guy always gets hurt and doesn't catch anything. You're going to make him the core of the offense? That was Welker talking, not me.
Well, not only you're making someone else, whatever you're making
putting
the core,
Edelman ahead of him.
You put him on the back burner. You know?
No. But I was talking. I mean, the shift of the focus was Hernandez. Hernandez was going to be the 100 catch guy, in my opinion. We talked about
it in training camp and all that.
Now Edelman was going to be a part of it, but it was going to be a shift towards Hernandez is the guy Paul's talking about. The 70% of the time he's sort of the first look.
And you know what else I don't get? The whole notion that listening to the talk radio this morning here in Boston, the notion that it was somehow Belichick getting back at Welker for not signing the deal last year. And they didn't expect him to sign the franchise tender. Well, that didn't preclude them from signing a deal. You can sign the franchise tender and do what Vince Wilfork did and sign a deal after that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Welker signed the franchise tender in like May.
Early.
There was plenty of time
until that
July. I think it's July 16th or something
in
that area
where
the deadline comes. So there was plenty of time for them to work out a deal. Him signing the franchise tender did not stop them. That's why these people that say maybe this means that they're going to sign Welker, Tlaib, or Vollmer, or any combination of them because they didn't tender him. One has nothing to do with the other. They could have protected themselves if they were comfortable with that number.
But
clearly they weren't.
Right.
And they didn't want to take the
maybe
chance
they weren't
that
comfortable
we don't
with
get.
It last year and said... Not risking that again. He might sign it.
Right.
Sometimes signing a franchise tag is indication you are going to sign him to a long-term deal. You just need the time.
But at the same time, if I'm a player and I look at it and say, like, if I'm Welker and they sign me and it's $11.4 million or whatever it was, Andy wrote that story, that's my starting off point. I'm going to get this guaranteed before we even start talking about anything else.
But he would get that.
No, I understand that.
I mean,
but it's going to
even their
the
two-year, $16 million supposedly fully guaranteed offer, that includes $11 million guaranteed. You're making more than what you could have.
Correct. But if I'm Wes Welker, there's no way I'm going to take an additional five. I'm already getting 11.
Right.
You're giving me five more? Wow.
Especially when I have disdain.
It ups it. You know what I'm saying?
Disdain.
Tim writes in, I don't dream often. Last night I woke up from a nightmare. It's draft day and the Patriots traded up to the number one overall pick and they took a kicker. When asked why Belichick took a kicker with the top overall pick, he said, because I'm better than you.
That would be way better than it was in the best interest of our football.
Now, realistically, who do you think will fall to the Patriots? I'm not talking who you would want or hope for. Best player available, who is he, and how is he going to help the team next year and for years to come?
No idea.
If there was a best player realistically in this draft or best...
No, who's going to fall to the Patriots?
Oh.
I have no idea. Early.
If you could pick one guy to take in this draft, and forgetting the lack of realism of him, he's going to be gone in the top five picks. Would there be a guy? Because I'm not even sure I identify a guy that I feel that strongly about.
I definitely am not like in love with a guy like I've been in the past.
Magnus?
I'm sure.
Not in love with Magnus?
No. I sort of think maybe D. Milliner, but I think he's just the best quarterback this year.
Yeah, I could talk myself into a lot of guys.
What do you think of Monty Ball?
Solid third round pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I kind of like him.
I think he'll have a nice career as a backup running back who fills in occasionally. No spark.
Really?
He scares me.
Okay.
See a lot of Ron Dane there. And I know it's an easy thing because of the Wisconsin connection.
Yeah,
but
I think he's probably better than Dane.
Big guy, good feet, takes a lot of hits, had a ton of carries at Wisconsin. Best days are behind him. I don't think that he's going to be a good
player. Now,
he's
smart. He's aligning himself with Curtis Martin. Yeah, I think
durability and consistency.
Durability and consistency. Nothing really stands out to you. You don't say he's the fastest, the biggest, the this, the that. but he promises you, I'm going to be there for you every week with my mouth shut and putting the ball in the end zone.
See, I think you guys forget how good Ron Dayne was in college.
No, I remember how good he was, but I'm remembering looking at him, physically just
great
looking
feet.
At him. I thought he was too big. I thought he was kind of,
yeah, he had a bubble butt.
And when
that.
You say at the next, I thought Jerome Bettis was too big, and he wasn't. I mean, he went on to have a great career, so you can be wrong both ways there. But to me, Ball has a better chance of being an NFL running back than I thought Ron Dayne did.
Jim in Walpole says, I love the idea.
Wait, we never answered the question.
What?
Who we're in love with. Oh. You, it's the Eastern Bloc, Magnus Hunt.
The Eastern Bloc.
I don't know why.
I do like him.
Why?
I just like his build.
Because he has big arms.
Yeah. You know, Magnus.
And
he
doesn't
have the
Fred still
arms.
Wants Mike Mamula.
The
He looks athletic. You know, he really does.
That's rare.
Yeah.
I don't mean to make this a racist thing, but it's rare that somebody sees this big, white, Eastern European guy and says he looks athletic. I mean, generally those guys are sort of the
It would scare me. You know, like the BYU guy intrigues me. Ansa? Mm-hmm. But he would scare
He's not the Ansa.
He would scare me. Ziggy.
Floyd?
He would scare
Floyd?
Me.
Would you ever take...
Yeah, Floyd's pretty good, too.
Would you ever take Sharif Floyd? Would you ever take Travis Frederick if he fell as a center?
No.
I'm not over.
I'm not really
with
over
him.
Familiar
and
with him.
No, I would not take a center. You don't have to give me the name.
You know how you can always get a guard?
You can always
you really
get a
can always get a center. Ryan okay. Wendell proved that, as did Nick McDonald, as did Dan Conley.
How about Jarvis Jones? You like him?
Not for the Patriots.
No?
Well, first of all, you have the issue. I mean, the fact that he's playing, and I don't buy the whole, I know how to lift and play conservatively.
I've always played with this.
And, you know, there's an issue there. And now his thing may be true that a lot of people have it. Maybe a lot of NFL players have this narrowing of the spine, and it's more common than we think, and it's not that big a deal, but I'd be scared to death. But he's a very intriguing athlete. I don't think he's even though he had ridiculous pass rush numbers, I don't see him as an NFL, like, 19 sack. Okay, there's my – I got my pressure guy. I don't see him as that. He's sort of a squattier. He's not that – it seems like in the NFL, when you're those elite guys, you look like Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers. You're one of those long, lean,
well, that's
kind of
why
–
but Dwight Freeney broke that mold.
Yeah.
Well
– and isn't Von Miller shorter? He's, you know
– yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's short, there's you know, there's
yeah,
some shorter, fast
yeah.
guys too. And Dumervil's a little bit in that mold.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. I mean, and Harrison. I mean, that was that whole era
James
of
Harrison,
these
right?
squat guys.
Yeah,
and he's definitely more in that mold. I think he's pretty athletic. I think he's probably more athletic than Harrison. I would say, and that I mean that obviously you're talking about a defensive player of the year, but I'm just not in love with him. And for this team, like. I just have this vision that they would waste him.
But
that they
you know,
would get
whole, you know, you're talking about the long link, you know, the Julius Peppers. That's kind of why I'm intrigued
oh, yeah.
with Ziggy.
Jordan is in that same mold. You know, he's got a shoulder injury, so he can only bench 5 pounds. But oh, I have our next thing.
He
Fred.
Also looks like a sprinter. But you know, what are you going
to
do?
I have our next challenge. Strippers sent it to me. I believe it's called the Manathon, and it's not as gay as it sounds. It's like six events. You have 20 minutes. It's like bench press, curl, dips, pull-ups, and each one of them you have to do at a percentage of your weight. Like your bench press is like X percent of your weight, and your goal to be perfect is to do 20 reps of each, but you only have 20 minutes. So
ooh, that's hard.
You have to pace yourself slash how
right.
much rest in between.
Right.
And there's this whole chart. It's something that you can find online that has like if your total number is 50, you know, you're in decent shape. If your total number is 60, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for it now.
Andy, you'd have to do the bench press last because there's no way you would only do 20, and then you wouldn't have anybody
well,
be
no.
able to. Imagine anybody saying that
no.
he only did 20 or whatever the
no,
percentage
no, no, no,
was.
No,
he would do 20, but they'd only go halfway up.
Shut up.
No, he would be, no. I could do 50 of that.
Well,
are you
no, but
me?
You, there's some planning involved too. I think you can do it any order you want, and the
right.
fatigue factor. I would probably do something like the chin up first. It's not my strongest event where I think to get anywhere near mid-teens, I would do that first.
I can't do
with
any.
Confidence that I can do dips and bench last yeah. and kind of, I think it'd be a cool thing to do.
That's hard. Jim and Walpole
says, hard.
I love the
Moving
idea
on.
Of the Friday roster podcast. It's the most enjoyable 4.5 minutes I've had in a long time. And
that's what your wife said.
Well, you jumped on his joke. He said,
jumped
someone,
on his wife too.
As someone who's been married for 16 years, you know what I mean. So let the guy have his punch.
Sorry.
Okay, you
Sorry.
Have to step all over it.
Okay, and you can have your wife back too. She wasn't that good.
He just can't let it go.
He's just like a little pit bull.
4.5 minutes, Eric would
die for that. In fact, maybe he has.
All right.
You know, if things go well.
Yeah.
According to you.
Maybe he'll get into bestiality over there.
Quick question from Matt in Atlanta. He said, would you trade Vereen and a third-round pick for Percy Harvin?
Vereen and a third-round pick for Percy Harvin.
I would.
I think I would, too.
It would be contract-related for me. Talent-wise, I definitely would consider it. But, like you know, you said, Paul, he's looking for, like, X million, tens of millions of dollars. I'd be scared to commit to Percy Harvin to huge money. And if that's a need.
Yeah, but the contract is why you're getting him for Vereen in a third-round pick.
Right. Well, depends what you think Vereen is. If you're of my ilk and believe he could be a superstar.
Yeah, no, you know what? You're right. You could probably get him for that.
But I don't want to do that and then hand him. I mean, did you say he was looking for $10 million a year? So he's looking at the Bow contract and saying, something like that.
There was something. I haven't seen anything about Harvin for a while.
I'd be scared to death. Well, but it's they've like all tried to squash.
Evidently, Jennings is looking for 12,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no chance.
Greg Jennings.
Yeah, that's when I said cross him off the list then. But I think the quiet here is a creation of the Vikings. I think the Vikings have probably told him, we will attempt to trade you, but you saying you want to be traded and us, that hurts the market, and we're not going to be able to trade you because we're not giving you away. Let us handle this. We'll say we're not trading you. You keep your freaking mouth shut, and we'll see if we can actually trade you for something valuable. So I think that's why you've kind of seen the silence in that area.
All right. Food's here, so let's take a break. It's 1:11. We've gone over an hour without a break. So let's do that now. We'll be right back with more calls and emails.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Kevin caught me with a mouthful of veal cutlet. That's all right. So
you with a mouthful of meat?
It's always on his mind, Paul.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Superman Reno writes in. He says, do you think we should just sign Woodson and draft a receiver to replace Brandon Lloyd? I know we need to keep Welker and Tlaib.
Wait, what? So we draft a receiver, we keep Welker and Tlaib, add Woodson?
Yeah.
I don't think you're terrible.
No. Okay.
I mean, you've added a veteran defensive back. You've kept your best corner, theoretically. And you've added Terrence Williams. oh, wait, did it not say
Andy
that
Andy and I kind of like Terrence Williams. Andy a little bit more than Paul.
What's your R-Latch say about Terrence Williams, since you're apparently digesting it all, since you're pulling centers out of your A.
I'm not ready for that yet. Brooklyn.
Wait,
Mac,
why do you know centers then? Why did you start like breaking down centers?
Because I know that Frederick guy is really, really good. They're saying like he could be
Nick Mangold.
Well, yeah. Isn't the guy from Alabama supposed to be?
Yeah.
What about Barrett Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not that good, right?
Well, he's
light years ahead. He's
a lot
the best.
Of people have Frederick number one,
but a lot of people don't.
I don't know.
So that means he's not light years
Mike
ahead.
Mike Mayock has Frederick as number one.
Mike Mayock is a clown.
No, he isn't. Brooklyn
you
Matt
know what
says,
worries me if you take Mike Mayock at his word about the running back class? He has Latimer at, what, 4 or 5? In his top five, either way. You know, he may be tied for 7th or however he likes to do it with his top five. But, I mean, really? Like, that's the best of the class? I mean, a guy who is currently as atrophied as any right leg as I've ever seen, with scars all over it from and by the way, never had huge years. That's the other thing. I thought his big year a couple of years ago was bigger than it was. He had like 1,100 yards. Like, he doesn't have a huge year on his resume. You know, these like 16, 17, 1,800 yard type seasons. And he has multiple ACL tears. Yeah. That worries me.
Yeah, but doesn't the old ball coach like to throw the ball a lot? So
no, not at South Carolina.
No?
They're a run-oriented team. And I'll also say about him, I like him a lot because of how much I've heard about him. As a person.
That's probably why Mayock has him there, but.
But
people don't win football games.
I talked
about
Monte Ball in the comparisons to Ron Dane. Latimer reeks of Ron Dane. He's a big guy who's not overly fast and has taken a million hits. And he's not a big play guy. I watch a lot because I kind of like South Carolina. And
Paul likes the Cox.
I watch a lot of their games. I mean, the SEC is obviously
the Gamecocks, Fred.
If you're going to watch college football, you need to watch the SEC for obvious reasons. He breaks into the clear a lot and doesn't finish him. And those are runs in college that he probably wouldn't get into the clear in the
NFL.
Never
like a cock who doesn't finish.
Oh, for God's sake.
Come on. I mean, really? Is this what we, stoop to here?
It's the off season.
Even for you, that's not,
I liked it.
Brooklyn Matt says, Andy, the manathon thing isn't Christ. A real thing. It's fictional lure used to socially weed out the meatheads. For example, mention the various physical challenges of said manathon. If a guy acts interested, bingo, you've just outed
a meathead.
Wait,
what does that mean?
So done everyone a favor. You've been punked by strippers.
Does the mutter exist? Is that real? Does the marathon exist? If you get a group of people together that are interested in something and do it to compete, then it exists. Like Fred, when he was on his middle school floor bumping butts. That existed.
And
they enjoyed it. But they competed in it.
But he says at this point it doesn't exist. It's used to out meatheads.
What does it... you can call me a meathead. I don't care. I think you're a fraudulent punani who doesn't exist and is probably very torn inside as to what he is in life and what his sexuality means and all that. I'm very comfortable with myself.
I never realized the similarities between everyone's you and Brooklyn Matt.
I like to compete. I get intrigued by some of these things. That's why I'm doing a marathon. It's why I've done 5Ks. I'm sorry I don't just sit back and make up stories about French models
that
I did or didn't bang.
You're very comfortable with yourself?
Yes.
Somebody says they're gay next to you and you run like
that.
That
is not true. I'm enjoying this modern era of open gayness.
Because you like to make fun of it.
No, well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to make fun of every gay person. It's the ones I choose to make fun of.
No, we can do them all at the same
time. I'll now have another tool to make fun of
them. I like to operate in blanket statements.
Right.
I want an open world, and I enjoy the new iPad or Nook commercial. Have you seen that? That there's a guy and a girl sitting at the pool, and one can't read, and the other one can read because of the glare or something. And the guy's like, oh, thanks, that's great. I just ordered one. Hey, we should celebrate this over a drink. And she's like, well, my husband's actually bringing me a drink. And the guy goes, mine too. And these two guys are walking toward him because he's a gay guy. It's like this. It's a funny commercial. It's not offensive. I think it's great that now is like out there and okay to like, take a spin
what's
on
the,
and turn.
What's the gym that you meatheads make fun of for being like?
The stupid one? Planet Fitness?
Planet Fitness.
Yeah, okay. The stupid one.
You see that commercial?
Where you can't breathe, you can't,
You see that commercial?
Stay on a machine, you can't sweat.
Keep an eye on that commercial. It's a good one that I watched last night.
They've updated their lift things up and put them down.
Right. There are a bunch of women in the locker room, and there's like the one who obviously is uncomfortable being in this kind of gym, and she's got a towel on, and then there's like these three other like smoking. You'd really like them because they have big boobs,
big cans,
and they're like, oh, it's so hot, like your body's so hot, and they're just like talking about how hot they are. And last night, Beth goes, what is this? I go, I don't know, but I'm interested.
Paul joined Super Planet Fitness last night. Yeah, I hate them. They just had one.
You'll like that commercial.
A woman is like suing them or something because they took her membership away because she was on a cell phone and she says the guy was threatening her.
And she was like really abusing the policy.
Yeah. I think they abuse their power.
What's the policy?
They're like the Nazis of gym owners. They're just like, they have this whole thing. If you don't fit our perfect, get off the machine and this time and don't sweat and don't do this and don't make a noise and don't breathe. They're bad.
I wouldn't even be able to walk in. I'm always sweating.
Yeah, they're bad people.
It's not intimidation gym, right?
That's, what gym is intimidating?
It can't be out there.
They call it gym intimidation.
You come in with your big thing of water and your
tank top
and your Zubas.
Ignorance. And that is what you speak. Ignorance.
And you're staring people down while
you
do. You
absolute opposite.
You judge everybody in
absolutely
there.
Wrong.
You absolutely 100%. Do because you come back and you have all these stories about this guy and that
guy.
Amazing.
Like
you can
leaves
observe
at like 10 in the morning and when he comes back at like 4, it's like unbelievable all the stories that he has.
You're judging everybody in there.
That is not true.
Yeah, I can't believe he's only.
So Rodman or whatever it's called now, Stadium Fitness, is that intimidating and offensive?
I don't know.
Gym,
I haven't been
gym
in
intimidation.
There's a shock.
Well, he wasn't until he had to walk around with that boot on.
So the only thing that doesn't intimidate you is computers, because that's where you go work out with Coco Beware or whatever.
Right, that's the only thing that doesn't intimidate.
Apparently,
Is that the excuse you have for not working out? You're like Paul.
Yes.
It intimidates me. I can't be comfortable in front of other people.
When have I ever used that as an excuse?
I don't know. You always say, "Oh, the guy's moving weights."
No. I told you that when I was young, and you start lifting weights, I was always behind, and it was.
Why? What do you care?
Well, I mean, now
so you
as
care what other people think.
As a grown adult, I don't care that I can't bench what you can bench.
Right.
But when I was 14 or 15,
and yet you still don't go to the gym.
When I was 14 or 15, yeah, it bothered me that I wasn't lifting as much as everybody else. It was embarrassing. You don't see the difference there?
No.
When you're a kid?
So didn't
you
did not go
to peer pressure?
Did you not go to the park and run because somebody was faster than you? Or somebody's always going to be something more than you. A better hitter, a better pitcher, a better thrower, a better lifter, a better runner.
And when you're little and you're immature, you don't let those things affect you more than you would as a grown
adult? But you threw soft and you still pitched. Didn't other people throw harder than you?
But I got people out.
I don't get it.
I was better than people, so it didn't bother me how hard I threw.
It's not what Pioli says.
I mean, I just don't see how you could not see that.
Like,
you don't grow up and say, my God, how stupid was I that I let that affect me?
But, like, my issues were real. The pants they gave me didn't fit.
Hey, Fred.
I had to buy my own pants.
His hang-ups are actual
hang-ups. But, like, it's embarrassing when they hand you a pair of pants and you can't get up your thighs and you're like, Mom, we got to go buy pants again because these don't fit. Like, that's embarrassing. Or they give you the hat, and the hat doesn't fit. But
it's also embarrassing when, like, 10 guys that are the same age all can do something that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Did you ever think of, like, going off on your own, building up a little bit, and then coming back? And
yeah, I did that.
But it was too hard, and then he quit. Most of his little things, he quits on them.
I did that as best as I could, Fred. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry I'm with two people that didn't have anything that they weren't as good as everybody else in when they were growing up.
No, I did. I just didn't care. I wasn't that good a hitter, and they called me Pork Chop, and, like, the hitting coach would offer me a candy bar if I got a good line drive and all these things, but it didn't bother me. Like, I'm not going to hit anymore because people mean to me and laughed at me. Like, I wanted to hit.
Yeah, it didn't stop me from being a great athlete.
Hey, he's in the Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame are you in?
None.
All right.
None. Great athlete. Or a crafty lefty.
Maybe they have.
But there is a difference, and you got that dumb smirk. You know it.
In terms of the traditional things that we equate athleticism with,
height, weight, speed.
I probably wasn't a great athlete, but I was good at sports.
You might make the new Hall of Fame at Tufts, where you saw yourself in public or urinate in public.
How's that?
They have a new Hall of Fame there you could get into.
I was good at
sports. Because no one at Emerson has ever done anything embarrassing.
Not that I know of.
Oh, please.
Did you make a donation to the fraternity?
No.
One of your brothers? Why not? You're not okay with that?
I've made my donation to Emerson.
Do you donate?
Yeah, I did when I was, my last year there was my last donation.
Do you get things in the mail that,
oh, all the time. I donated.
And you've never donated?
No, I have once, and that's why now they won't leave me alone.
Okay, this is a truly historic day. One of my friends from college is getting married, and just never, ever, ever thought he would ever get married.
Why, you thought he was?
No.
Oh.
Quite the opposite. No, my friend.
Far from it,
my friend.
How old is he? Like
my age.
Wow.
44.
Wow, so there's hope for Eric.
Yeah.
Nah.
Really. Although, the difference is...
Is he marrying, like, a fat girl? He lowered his standards a little?
Oh, no. This guy has been... This guy hasn't had any droughts, so let's put it that way.
He's laid more pipe than mobile.
Wow. Is it a shotgun wedding? Or No? All right, let's go to the Ace
Ticket... We just offended some guy, his wife, and the whole family.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Big Al's in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Fellas, you know, do you think that there's possibly a name for the condition that Andy Hart has?
What condition is that?
It's called insane.
No, it's normalcy.
If you're lucky, Andy.
I'm fine.
Someday, they'll name the condition after you. It'll be like Lou Gehrig's disease.
So, that'd be cool.
Be Andy Hart's mental condition.
I like it.
And then there'll be some parent somewhere that'll, I'm not sure. I don't know. Something's wrong with my kid. I don't know. And then, then the neighbor will say, well,
let's just
maybe
make it a syndrome.
Andy Hart's,
There can be a charity. 1 in 10,000 kids has Andy Hart syndrome.
That's what they're doing these days. I guess everything's got initials, OPCD.
That's right.
And
then there'll be a medicine for it.
There you go. So there's, good luck.
Thank you.
But look.
Fame any way I can get it.
Yeah, hire an agent. Maybe that'll help. But look, as far as the Paul's point earlier about the Patriots change of things up on, offensively, I don't see that happening, respectfully, Paul.
I don't either. I agree with you.
No.
I'm wondering if it should, that's all.
Well, that's you know, that's a reasonable thing to wonder, I think. But as I hate to use the word stuck, because that implies it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing at all, but we're basically stuck with Tom Brady. And he's got tremendous, obviously, strength. The guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably unanimous. I mean, there's no, you can't get
Should
any
be.
Better than
anyway.
That. But he doesn't throw a deep ball, so the Wallace kid, forget it. Okay, just don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Spend it somewhere else. And, yes, when we get in the playoffs, you know, there's the thing about the sort of the Buddy Ryan, Rex Ryan defenses with Baltimore and the Jets that have been knocking us out. So I don't know how you really cure that, and I don't know how you, you know, unless you really develop something else, an incredible running game overnight, a deep passing game overnight, which isn't going to happen.
So wait, you think he would not be able to successfully use Mike Wallace or a deep receiver? You don't think he's capable of getting the ball there?
Why?
No, he'd get frustrated and quit.
Why?
Oh, well, that's two different
arguments. Because he
wouldn't
see the ball. He wouldn't see the ball, Andy. You know, Tom, unfortunately.
Did
Tom
Randy Moss see the ball?
He's never thrown a very good deep ball. And,
what?
You know,
it's not the strength of his game, Fred. I agree with that assessment.
I mean, you can be as incredulous as you want. I mean, sort of based in fact.
But he doesn't.
Not his,
he's not
his strength.
Unable to
he
do does, it.
Right. And I think that
not,
when you have a guy that's going
to
get open, he'll get it to him.
Fellas, he would have to have so much time.
It's not like he's got a rag on.
The clock in Tom Brady's head, as I think I discussed about a month ago with you, the clock in Tom Brady's head is shrinking. Okay, he's running out of time.
It's
he's
fast.
Not hanging in the pocket. Like
the clock, I agree with you 100%. The clock in his head is like the one in my wife's car. It's like 5 minutes fast. You got to take that into account.
There you go. I mean, I hate to pile on the guy. I love the guy, but
we're stuck with him, as you put it.
Yeah, well, I'm not. You know,
the play. Everybody likes to make fun of the slide where he kicked his leg up in the air, and you know, wasn't that kind of stupid,
douchey?
But but even more douchey than that, to
I
me,
get Big Al to say douchey.
To you,
you know, I mean, if you pay me, I'll say anything. No, I'm just kidding. Even more douchey than that play was, if you recall earlier, I believe it was earlier in the game, he, you know, ventures across the line of scrimmage, which is always dangerous because...
Oh, and he ran behind the umpire.
Right.
And he goes and hugs the official.
Yep. Yeah. That was shortly before, wasn't it?
That had to be one of the douchiest things I've ever seen on football.
And I do agree with the way you described it. I think it was intentional.
Oh, yeah.
I think
no doubt.
It was protection-oriented. Yeah.
That was
if
a douchey
I'm that official,
series
I'm looking
of plays.
At Tom Brady going, Tom... You know, between you and your wife, you make about umpteen kabillion times more money than me, and you are risking my life by hugging me right now.
That's you know, true. You know, you get guys like Bernard Pollard and Ray Lewis out there.
The surgery James that I'm going to need, you know, when Ray Lewis or, you know, somebody comes over and smacks me thinking I'm you. Get the hell away from me.
I agree.
And what are you doing here? That was, to me, that was about 25% more douchey than the slide with the leg in the air.
So in douche pie.
But I do think that if he had, Al, to bring us back to your original point, I think if he had Mike Wallace, I don't think you'd see him refuse to throw the ball deep to him. I think he would take shots with him. Now, I do think he would get frustrated early on, like last year, if he didn't connect.
Right.
Now, I think there was, you know, times, I don't know if they were Brady's fault or Brandon Lloyd's fault. There were times early in the season that Lloyd was open deep that they didn't connect. And I think that if that happened with Wallace, I think you'd see a similar pattern where he would sort of move away from that. And I agree. I don't think that's the strength of his game. I'm not saying that he can't complete bombs. We've all seen him complete plenty of long passes.
Or ones that were incomplete that were, you know, right on Gronkowski's fingertips, right on Welker's fingertips.
I just don't think that's the strength of his game.
No.
That's all.
But he has a lot of other strengths.
I
don't know whether I'm proud or disappointed in Fred that a caller just said we're stuck with Tom Brady and you didn't pounce.
Because he didn't. Because
we're stuck in the AFC title game, stuck in the Super Bowl.
He didn't mean it in the literal terms, and that's why he set it up the way he did, for lack of a better term.
Right. But he meant it a little bit, that we're stuck with Brady, for better or worse, we can't change.
Al's like knowledgeable fans, and he recognizes that as great as he is, there are some things that he doesn't do great.
Correct. But I think there are a lot of things he does well, and you have an ability to change your offense. We've seen it over the years. It's not like you're stuck,
you know, this is what we have to do. We're the Raiders. We have Jeff Blake, and we're throwing the ball deep. We can't go to a – Brady has shown over the years he can do different things. Dink and dunk, to bombs away with Moss, to sort of everything in between. You give me a tight end, I'll use the tight end. You give me an outside receiver, I'll use him. I only got a slot guy, I'll use him.
Yeah, I think where he falls down is on those deep balls is when it, the guy gets open and Brady's surprised. Because I think over the years he's become sort of used to not having those guys available. And when they come available, I think he kind of panics a little bit. Like, and oh my God, the guy's open.
I also don't think he likes to do the Joe Flacco on Devin McCourty. I'm just going to drop back and throw it. I don't think Brady really has that mentality.
He doesn't like that. No, he doesn't. And I think he needs to get
sometimes
over
you
that.
Need to do that,
yeah,
and
I think
say,
you're right.
And I think he did at times with Moss for better and worse.
Because you had confidence that Moss
right.
would play defense if he couldn't get it.
But was that confidence only because Moss was good from day one? What if Moss had struggled for two to three games? Into that
and
start of that year.
I think we
never know.
But I think
you
just answered the question, and I think that would happen with Wallace. He might throw a few up early,
right.
And if they didn't go well, I think Al's right. I think he would go away from
the
it.
The thing about Wallace, though, is you watch a lot of his touchdowns also, or big plays, are not bombs necessarily. It's like the Jerry Rice slant over the middle that he just gets.
He also has a lot of broken plays that Roethlisberger, well, not broken, but extended plays
turn
into
that's what worries me a little bit about the whole clock.
You're not getting that
Al
Brady.
Talked
right.
about because you're not going to get those very often from Brady.
Someone called the African Park Ranger is calling in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hello.
Yes, hi. This is James Hunt, the National Director of the Nairobi National Park.
Nice.
How are you?
Good.
We have found a backpack in a lion's den with initials of Eric Scalavino.
Initials
you know
of Eric.
Pseudonym?
Yeah.
He's doing fine, by the way.
Is there a lot of blood?
Was thrown out of the tribe from the castle, as well as the king threw him away because he was asking people to speak Swahili with a weird accent.
And then correcting them when they got it
and
wrong.
Correcting them, yes. How did you know?
Now, is this Olivier?
Yes.
Oh, right. Hello, Olivier.
But it was entertaining.
Yes,
thank
very
you.
Good.
Thanks, Kevin, for the intro.
What's up?
You know, I've been following the shows, obviously, and my apologies for not calling back last week. I was in Spain, but... what are we going to do with all that money? Who do you think is the free agent that's under the radar right now? Some people say it's April from the Lions, but there's a lot of guys, I assume, that don't have the price tag or the reputation of a Wallace, but hopefully we can scoop up. I know we have the same amount of money as we did last year. And
well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you feel like we spent a lot of money last year? Because you can use it up without really feeling like you did a lot.
I mean, if they sign Welker, a third of it goes to Welker right there. And this year's cap, you know,
is that necessarily
yeah,
true?
Eight
it's,
or nine million, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 4 years, 32 million, with 20 million up front, 5 million bonus. Yeah, you're going to spend 6 or 7 million probably on him. So,
and do you think that the team should actually move away from Welker in order to change the philosophy of the offense?
Or
do you think that's nonsense?
Yeah, I you know.
I have a big fat I don't know.
I really look.
Thanks, Paul. Good radio.
I don't think they should depend on him as much. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether he's here.
But do they?
I think yeah.
Like do they? Is your mind misled because Gronkowski was hurt?
Well, no.
Like
this year they had to.
Would it have been okay if Gronkowski were healthy?
It might have been.
So
yes.
They were depending on him out of need, not to sit, not choice.
Yes, but
we'll never know.
Well, next
year,
hopefully we have Ballard, right? So we have three tight ends.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not counting too much in that one in terms of a pass receiver. I think Ballard's going to be an addition as the third tight end, but not necessarily as an extra option in the passing.
I wonder what his mindset is these days, Ballard, because, you know, he wasn't exactly – itching to get over here when they signed him. He was a little bit stunned at that.
But I'm sure he's settling in. He's been here all year.
Yeah.
He's met the guys, hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
And he's becoming a Patriot.
Okay.
Yes, hopefully. Hey, when is your marathon, by the way, Andy?
April 15th, I believe. Patriots Day.
Patriots Day. Is there any way I still can contribute to your fund?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Go to either
the
Facebook.
Gold and silver?
Sure. No, I can convert those into.
You're taking all the lunch funds. I just want you to know.
Well, after the marathon, people can go back to buying lunch. Right now, they're helping charity, Paul. I'm sorry they're not making you fatter by the minute. And you seem to do okay without their funds. You still deep-throated a sub.
I'm paying my own.
But, yes, you can go to the Facebook page. You can go on my Twitter timeline. Anyone who's interested in following, at Jumbo Heart. And, I'll tweet it out again later. I have a link. I just don't have it, in my memory, basically, right now.
Okay.
But thank
no
you.
Problem.
I would
thanks,
very
guys.
Much appreciate that.
Later.
Okay, thanks, Olivia.
Have fun in Nairobi.
And
yeah.
A reminder, anyone who wants to contribute, you can still win a Wes Welker, or I don't know if I say win. I don't know how these work. I don't want to get in legal trouble. But you could still get a Wes Welker autographed mini helmet if you make a contribution between now and April 1st. And hopefully, depending on the report you believe today, it'll still be, you know, a Patriots mini helmet. And you can still root for him with him on the Patriots afterwards.
Rob in Ontario says, hey, Paul, Andy, Fred, and the African Queen. I just wanted to
give
my...
That's going to get him mad when he gets back.
I just wanted to give my input on Honey Badger and his marijuana situation. Marijuana does not contain nicotine or anything that would make it addicting like cigarettes. It is more of a force of habit, like always needing a Miller Lite or Diet Coke.
I don't know who she's talking about.
As a former smoker, I can assure you quitting cigarettes is 1,000 times harder. Great work, guys. Hope we can get some help on the edges for this raggedy defense.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought it was like socially addicting and not as much physically addicting, but those can still be hard too.
I mean, especially when
it's available. It's easy when you're away from it.
I'm not talking about the physical at all. I'm talking about when he's in that environment.
But you can choose to keep yourself out of that environment if you work hard enough at it. You flat out can. If you make responsible decisions.
So playing in the NFL is not a great
right?
way to keep yourself out of that environment.
There's no marijuana actually in the locker room.
It's in the parking lot.
Right. So go to your car.
If you want to be a recluse, yeah, sure.
So
go
to your car,
and, yeah.
And when, you know, a few guys say we're going to play video games and do whatever we
do,
don't go.
Right.
Be like Anthony Pleasant
and
be mature.
Easier said than done.
Well, not if everything he said is true. Not if football is important to him as he made it out to be.
Again, he's saying
that. Do you want to smoke weed or do you want to play in the NFL?
Again, he has said that, but he hasn't practiced it yet.
What if he doesn't want to smoke weed, but he wants to be around his teammates?
I tend to believe
that. Then you can't do that. You got to prioritize.
That's hard.
And not all his teammates are smoking weed.
I didn't say they all
were. If he's figured out a system for himself when that temptation is in front of him, that works for him, you know, a way to like overcome that, then good.
Remove yourself from the situation.
And that's the way to do it.
Because there's no situation he has to be in that would put him in that
for
risk.
For someone who claims he's never done any of this, you seem to have a lot of opinion on how to kick it.
I haven't done any of it.
So how do you know how hard it is?
Because that was my question. If that person is right, it's not physically addicting. It's not the same as nicotine, which is physically addicting, correct?
Right.
Then he can prioritize. It may be hard, but he can prioritize and say, the most important thing to me is football. So I am not putting myself in that situation. Because it's not like he can't go with teammates to dinner. It's, you know, there's plenty of people. You know, we do stuff on the road. You go out to dinner, you do this, and some other groups break off and do, I'm not saying drugs, but break off and do other things. And we go, yeah, I'm just going to go back to the room and watch football. You can choose to do that, you know. Because, A, you don't really want to do the other thing? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I choose to do it now at 44. When I was 34 and I first started with Fred, I wasn't choosing to do it.
But you didn't have a reason to have to. If football means what he says it means to him,
priorities
that
change.
Is the I mean, this is not all that different than Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. You prioritize things. If being a football player and being healthy and being committed to the New England Patriots is important to you, then at some point you stop DDDing people on a Vegas stage with a broken arm.
Yeah, I just think you're making it a lot easier than it is.
Everybody's different. For some people, what Andy's saying is easier. You can do that. You have the willpower. Other
no one's
people
saying
don't.
That you can't do it. No one's saying it can't be done. It's not impossible. I just think that we're making light of it. I think we're making it a lot easier sounding than it is.
Yeah,
I tend to think it's a choice. It's
these
a choice
guys
you
do
make.
This. This stuff, you know,
but
a lot of them
are wired
for years and years. And
no, I know.
Yeah.
But that's my point. If it means as much as he said, you know, you bought him.
I mean,
it means as much as he said, then he can do it.
You know.
If it doesn't, then it really doesn't.
If he's wired right.
Yeah. Well, listen. I mean, it can be done. There's no question about it. Andy, you were making fun of me about, you know, worrying about what other people thought. Well, this is an example of something that I was completely the opposite on. I never worried what anybody thought. It just wasn't interesting to me. And every single one of my friends did it. And I was with them constantly when they were doing it.
Lifting weights?
No.
No.
Oh. Drugs.
If he were,
he'd be in better position today.
Drugs in general, marijuana specifically, but, you know.
But it was Everett. It went up from there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. In the 80s.
That was an entry drug.
Fred, I mean, back me up. In the 80s, Fred, who wasn't doing cocaine?
Everybody.
Did okay? you do cocaine?
Everybody was doing cocaine.
You did coke?
I didn't say that.
I thought I was just going to say everybody was doing cocaine again.
No, really?
I've never done it. I never did marijuana. It never interested me.
No, but you're a boring wussy.
I had no interest in it. And it didn't stop me from being with my friends. It didn't.
I'm amazed.
But I think there was probably at least one or two of my friends that probably did do it and really didn't want to, but just kind of did it. And I think that it's not easy. It was, you know, it wasn't easy to know.
I don't think it's easy. But again, I don't think it's easy to play in the NFL. If that is if football is what he says is the most important thing to him, then a lot of times that isn't easy. Whatever you deem that to
sure.
be in your life.
It's what, yeah.
There's an, you know, what's the old saying? You know, if it were easy, everybody would do it. Whatever. Stupid sayings. If it's important to him, I think he can do it.
Okay.
Now, that's assuming scientifically that's where I draw the line.
But
I think when things are socially addictive and there's one thing, when they are physically addictive, that's a separate issue.
Yeah. I don't think anyone who's an alcoholic wants to be an alcoholic.
Right.
Yeah.
And you go down a road, and then you just can't help it. But I've always thought that marijuana was more socially, you liked how it made you feel, you liked being around your friend, whatever, but that it wasn't necessarily, like that woman said, physically.
Right. No,
still can't get. So everybody in the 80s was doing cocaine.
Oh, not everybody.
No, but, like, it was pretty widespread. Because I've had other people I worked with in the summers that said the company they worked for would have, like, parties, and, like, all the bosses were there, and cocaine was just being openly used at, like, regular houses with regular people.
It was pretty widespread, yeah.
That's
crazy. Big time, big time.
That
but you know,
weird.
And we don't know it because we're older now. But you know, marijuana kind of waned. It is back.
Oh God,
in
yeah.
force.
Oh yeah,
it is huge.
See, I always knew marijuana was big with adults, with kids, with people you wouldn't think were doing it. But to me, cocaine is like a big step up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did people not think it was?
Oh, cocaine's bad.
No,
I've seen people's lives ruined.
So people knew
literally.
What it was. It's not like it was new and people didn't really, like, and everybody was doing it.
Well, I mean, I think since then, you know, heroin took over for cocaine, and heroin's way worse than that.
The crystal meth and
absolutely.
All that
no, but everybody knows those are bad. That you take a chance that even if you do it once,
knows
the rest
bad.
Of your life goes down
still
the pooper.
Do it.
But people
still
do it.
But I don't think those are as widespread as how people seem to make out cocaine in the 80s.
I think it is.
I've never heard people like openly, yeah, everybody I worked with just went to a party and we're all doing crystal meth tonight. Like, that's what I've been told.
But it turned into
cocaine.
Like crack and all other stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that's how those are today. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being naive, but.
But now they have ecstasy and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to try that in college. I didn't, but I was intrigued.
Yeah. Instead, you were just peeing in hotel lobbies.
No.
Noel in Denver.
I never peed in a hotel lobby.
Oh, then you weren't at Tufts.
then you don't know from Tufts.
So there's like, you know, 6,000 students. One guy does something and the other 59,999.
Isn't that how you do it? You know, you paint these broad things.
No.
No, that's not how you
I didn't
operate.
Say you went to
that's
Emerson.
Exactly
are you going to get a sex change, Fred?
That's exactly
are you
going to
get
it.
A sex change, Fred? Are you conflicted? Are you going to get a sex change? Do
matter
we need to
fact,
come up with a phone for you?
That last line came right out of the Indy Hart playbook.
Are you? I mean, are you confused?
According to you, I am, because that's how you operate.
No, because you've admitted you can't stop looking at penises of NFL players. That's what you've admitted.
Noel in Denver says, hey, guys, this is Noel in Denver. And I guarantee if the Patriots let Welker go to Denver, it will come back to bite them in the arse. What are your thoughts on this and the Pats getting a deep threat? Who would you go after? Fix the D should be number one priority, and who do you think can help us there? There's no doubt if Welker goes to Denver, he's going to affect the Patriots.
There's also the chance.
No,
and I
get
could
hurt in week one. Well, what are you kidding?
No, I can actually see Manning to Welker over the middle in the key throw of a playoff game through Welker's hands, picked off. Oh, the Manning face and the Welker drop all in one. And the Patriots fans are like, sucker losers.
Andy's probably right. It would be more like that.
What was the second part? Defensive player I want?
Who would be the guy?
Peppers.
Yeah.
He's on a team.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's not available.
There were reports he was going to be.
The deep threat that I kind of wanted that was a little bit, I thought, more realistic was Hartline, but evidently that's off the table now, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think Mike Wallace is a good player. I'm not sure I would invest
the
Dwayne Bowe type money that it's going to take to get him.
Interesting. Stripper sends us an open letter to Tim Tebow from Adam Schein. from Sirius.
You love that guy,
and
right?
I want to read this,
love
and then we'll
open,
get to Tom on the Ace Ticket Hotline. But part of the letter, Adam Schein writes, says, swallow your pride.
So
you
creative.
Are a winner, and so are the Patriots. It makes too much sense. They can deal with the headache you'd bring and the cult following you possess. As your old teammate Von Miller told me, the Patriots can handle everything that comes with Tim Tebow. Nobody is even bigger than the team in New England, and no player is bigger than Brady. Get your good name back. Don't set up interviews during the week. Backups don't give lengthy press conferences. The Patriots will make sure you stay in the background. Belichick is the best coach in the NFL. He can turn your career around. I think you can play in the NFL, Tim, but you aren't accurate enough to be a full-time regular quarterback. Go to New England, win, restore your reputation.
And ruin Andy's life.
Wait a minute. So win? How is he going to win? You're going to say that Brady's not going to play?
No, win with the team.
That's not going to help his reputation.
No.
If he's a backup playing like he did with the Jets, if the Jets won the Super Bowl last year, that would have helped Tim Tebow if he didn't play like he didn't?
Well, I don't know.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah,
do you think that would have helped Tim Tebow's reputation?
Well, I don't think...
If he played as little a role as he did with the Jets, he played a handful of snaps as quarterback. If Sanchez just had an out-of-body experience and turned into Tom Brady for the year, that would have helped Tim Tebow?
Well, it wouldn't either have hurt or helped him. Because, you know, he would be on the bench for a good reason.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So if he comes here and the Patriots win and he doesn't have anything to do with it, it's not going to help restore... First of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with his image.
Right.
He is who he is. He's a backup player.
Yeah, and he's not going to play.
I still think he's a good person, Andy. Does
I think he's a good person. And that was just part of the letter. I think maybe
good people bail on.
Maybe
teammates.
What Adam Schein also said is come here and do something else other than play quarterback.
Well, maybe.
And then that would help restore his image.
Maybe. I just don't think that he's a better option than what the Patriots have at other things.
Yeah.
You know, when you want him on the field instead of Gronkowski.
No.
Maybe that's
Hernandez?
Why they released Spencer Larson. Open up the spot for him.
There you go.
We should probably say that they released Spencer Larson and Kyle Hicks from injured. They were on IR
right.
last year.
Let's go to Tom in Templeton. Hey, Tom.
Hey, I have a couple dumb questions.
Okay.
I was thinking about Vollmer at right tackle and franchising him. Do they separate right tackle from left tackle in the franchise, or you just can't franchise right tackle?
Offensive line. It's all grouped in as all five positions.
And, Tom, that is not a dumb question, by the way.
Oh,
very,
no,
very common.
It's nowhere near as dumb as ranking Vollmer as the number two available free agent.
Yeah, I mean, offensive linemen are grouped together as one. So if you want to do a center, which is generally the lowest paid, or a left tackle, which is generally the highest paid, franchise number is all the same.
And it was, what, 9.8?
Something like that.
I believe this
But
year.
A very common question, Tom.
All right, thanks. And also, I'm wondering about Floyd's contract, because I've heard like three different reports. I know they lose a $3 million bonus, but is it $5 million off the cap? Is it $6 million off the cap?
You mean Lloyd?
Lloyd, yeah. What did I say, Floyd?
Floyd. That made it a dumb question.
Yeah, it's not. They don't save that much.
Well, that
they,
is my specialty.
They save a couple of million, I want to say.
Yeah, because there's dead money, because he had a $3 million signing bonus, so prorated over 3 years, that's $1 million a year. You would take that $2 million acceleration. I believe his cap number previously, if they give him the $3 million, would have been like $4 million this year, 1.9 in salary plus a proration of the $1.5 million roster bonus. So I think you'd still have $2 million in dead cap space, but you'd essentially save $1 million and change. That's off the top of my head.
Yeah, I still think it's worth it to do it for the Patriots. They do save some.
Well, it's worth it because he stinks. Get rid of
him. Well, that's what I'm saying. And you save some cap.
Money
space.
Aside. You don't need him. You don't want him. I mean, the money is fine and dandy, but don't make a decision based on $1 million either way. Is he what you need or want for your team? If the answer is no, then move on.
But I'm backing your point up by saying even though they don't save a ton, I still think it's worth it because the guy's not what you thought he was.
Right. Well, he's what I thought he was.
Unless you're going to, say, okay, we're going to keep him. We're okay with paying him, but we're still going to get a better receiver than that. And then he's on the team and what? And, he still gets 30, 40 catches, whatever.
And you didn't, and you grew tiresome of him in practice.
Well, I don't know about.
Well, I just try to believe reports. I try to take reporters at their word.
Really?
I do.
Oh, come on. Thanks, Tom.
Isn't that a professional courtesy? Is you generally assume if somebody writes a source told me.
Not in these days.
Certainly not you.
Yeah.
What? I believe everything. What don't I believe?
You don't believe a lot of stuff.
No, I have a skeptical eye, but I try to take it for face value with some skepticalism.
Skepticalism.
Let's just say
I'm
skeptical of that statement. Ryan writes in, email is called Andy's Coming of Age. Longtime listener since Who Cannot Be Named was around. Thanks for the great show. Tell Kevin to mark tape Andy's two quotes today. I could talk my way into many guys, and I am enjoying the era of open gayness.
I'm sorry. I'm just open-minded that way.
This is from the guy who refused to wear jeans at Tufts on.
Oh, that's different. That's like Fred's thing. They hijacked a day. It was support the GLTTK whatever thing.
LGBT.
Yeah. Yeah. Wear jeans today. And in college, everybody wears jeans. You can't like hijack that and claim everybody's wearing them to support you. So
Andy,
I wore wind pants that
on
day.
Those days.
You can't force me into something like that.
This is a guy who's embracing jeans. The open period.
Right.
No, that's different. I would have felt
but
the same way about everybody.
But you could have felt that way, but still felt so strongly for the cause that you embraced
no,
it.
No, I didn't care for it. They're forced. Exactly. It's fraudulent. That is fraudulent to say wear jeans. Everybody wore jeans. That's not fair. Yeah. No, I couldn't support that.
What he didn't know is the people who support bestiality were wearing wind pants.
No, but that's the same thing as the Subaru. You can't claim people are all wearing jeans today to support you. They're wearing jeans
because
they wear jeans 365 days a year.
If you want to get back, who cares, though?
But
you don't care for the
But you wanted to support it, so why wouldn't you support it anyway?
Not sure I was as open-minded back then.
Oh, okay. There we go. So that's the root of the problem.
Yeah. No. But that bothered me.
That just happened with the new laws.
What new laws?
Yeah, anyway, you know, the HR laws.
No, I'm very open-minded. I've been to plenty of gay weddings. I've been, well, not plenty. One.
One.
I have lots of gay friends.
Oh, my God. James writes in, thanks, Andy. I now have to clean a combination of coffee and spit off my keyboard. The image of Eric and bestiality is probably burned into my cortex, never leaving me any peace. And, of course, the question of who plays which role in that relationship also jumped in.
Oh, he's a catcher.
This is the man who's... open. I'm embracing the open period.
That'd be a great story, too. Don't tell me it wouldn't.
What?
I got mounted by a lion in the safari. That's a great story.
Unbelievable.
Cody in Nova Scotia. Hey, guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm a college student.
Alan Georgia is...
Georgia.
He's definitely... he's onto something.
You're going to say that wasn't... That's another example of a great story.
It's going to be an Andy Hart syndrome. Yeah.
It would be a traumatic
experience.
That's
tremendous.
I didn't say it's good.
Great story.
It's a great story, a tale to tell.
Yeah, for someone you don't know. But for a person you work with, you don't want that to
happen. I don't
happen
even think
them.
That's a great story for anybody I
but
don't
you
know.
You know what I mean. It's,
you're like, wow, I can't
happen.
Believe that happened. That's a cool story. Like, you'd be like, I can't believe that happened. Like, that's like a mind-blowing story.
He's going to be sitting here squirming because he's got fur all over him. You know, itchy.
Wait, why is he itchy? He didn't shower
he's
between now
he's got fur
and
all over him.
He showered. That's what they always do in the movies when they're raped. The first thing they do is
violently.
They shower.
They cry in the shower. Violently, yes.
All right, this is not going to a good place.
that is like cliche movie 101,
right? It is. It's an emphatic shower to
they
wash away.
They always shower
the
afterwards to the dirt and the shame.
I mean, I just can't believe that you would ever use the word rape and good in the same sentence.
Story. Good story.
Yeah, that's
the
what
act
said.
Is not good. The tale to tell. You would have a tale that no one else on earth could tell.
Oh, you have a tale.
Okay, Dennis Rodman.
A lion raped
I'm not
me.
Condoning that. I'm not, you know, I'm not for war.
He's misunderstood.
Let's see. Cody in Nova Scotia says, hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm a college student, and I've been around pot and smoked it, and I can honestly tell you from my experiences, it's not as addictive as it's played off to be. Could be different for everyone else, but it's not very addictive. It's more on the person. If Tehran hasn't done it in however many months, he probably isn't craving it, but it depends on the kind of person he is. But I definitely roll the dice on him.
Right, but there's a difference between not craving it and when it's openly available in front of you, right. Like turning it down, having the strength to say no.
Listen, I never craved. I was around it all the time. Like I said, I never craved it.
Can you get
secondhand
high?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you absolutely.
So what
can
if he's like in a room and turns it down, and then he gets a little in his system, and that just makes him want more? And
that could happen.
Well, yeah, that's why you say you guys are doing that. Yeah, I'm gonna
head break home the now. Microphone.
And you know, because football is important to me, and I never want to have it taken away again.
Cliff and Baum writes in BHAM. Where's Baum? Maybe Bama?
Bahamas?
UAB. He's from University of Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Fred, your instincts are wrong on Honey Badger. He's overrated. I'm a Tide fan and watched him play a lot. Go back.
So you're unbiased.
Go back and watch how much he got abused against Alabama in the national championship game a couple years ago. Plus, I would not trust the discipline of a Les Miles player on or off the field, if there were any question marks. Great show, guys. Loving you in Bama.
That's a fair point. LSU guys have always had a reputation of being sort of reckless.
Right. And yet,
that's a good point about Les
Miles.
Very
few of them
get
kicked out of school.
No,
so that means he's
I know
way
that,
up here
but think
among
about,
them.
Think about, and I'm not saying that everybody, like Patrick Peterson has been, you know, a solid pro. But there's
Kevin
been a lot. There's been a lot. That's not Les Miles
change
player.
Change the clock back 35
LSU's.
Years.
My God.
I thought you said LSU player.
No, Les Miles players lack discipline. I think that's the point that the guy made, and I think he's right.
There was a rumor going around with him that I guess was false over the weekend. Did you hear about that? That he
so let's perpetuate it.
It's a false rumor, but we're going to bring it back
there was
up.
It was one of those Twitter things that he had an affair with someone at the school, a student.
And this rumor was started by somebody at Alabama, probably.
But it was going around.
Same Alabama guy that killed the trees in Auburn.
Oh, my God. I really do think Andy just completely lost his bowels
in his
pants.
He didn't even eat today.
Unbelievable.
I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, but not during the show, I mean. No. It's not like you had lunch and a half hour later you're...
Days. I made a mistake. I took Carolina barbecue sauce that was left over from the ribs, and I poured it all over pasta and ate it, and it is just... torn the insides of these to shreds.
You had barbecue sauce on pasta?
Well, see,
that's
we had
disgusting.
Disgusting. It was mac and cheese that I thought it was a little dry, and so it was with the ribs. So I finished the ribs, but then they had leftover barbecue sauce, so I poured it on the pasta, and it tasted phenomenal. But I have been in a bad way
gross.
Ever since. No, it tasted.
I'm just
great.
Disgusted.
I'm telling
about
you, it was
do you
great.
Just like if you're eating cereal and you don't have any milk, do you just put orange juice in or something just to have
a
liquid?
Cereal doesn't go. I mean,
it's gross.
Mac and cheese goes with barbecue. They go hand in hand.
Ooh.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition
of PFW
in Progress. Now, Paul, you won't be here Thursday? Or you
Why?
Will?
No, I'll be here
Thursday. Oh, you'll be here.
I won't be here next Tuesday.
Okay.
Loser-palooza.
Well, what if they lose in the first round? You're not going to cut it short?
My flight doesn't come home until Tuesday morning, so I won't be here Tuesday.
And believe me, they will lose
How
before the championship.
How drunk are you going to be over this weekend?
Well, all depends on how it goes.
If
they win, I won't be drunk at all. I'll just be happy. If they lose, I'll be hitting it hard.
Really?
He doesn't celebrate wins.
To me, it's the opposite.
He mourns losses.
All right, that's it. We'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.